The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos.
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all their stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child and then filmed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butter. I'm 8 years old, I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
Been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Artard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Artard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be here until 2 o'clock, our last show of the week, and of course, our last show before Christmas, so our annual Christmas
poem.
12 days or whatever nights before Christmas by Dan Heffron. We'll read that. And also we have another one that I'm going to read later.
We do?
Yeah. By Chris. Not as long as Dan
Forever?
Heffron's. It's different. No. So we got
we don't have enough time for that.
It's going to be a big day plus our picks. So we're excited, right? Are we excited? No. Both
terribly,
guys.
Terribly
I'm
excited.
I'm sitting here, Paul and Andy, both are like chimps looking down
at
their tweeters.
Warren Ladd tells me that I should get the LASIK surgery, by the way. Our boy Warren.
Yeah.
He says he got it and he loves it.
Well, maybe you can see a little bit more
objectively
if you do.
He bought lunch today.
He did.
So
did he?
I don't care
about his eyes, but I care about his lunch.
Thank you very much, Warren, in advance. We didn't get it yet, but I'm sure it's going to be yummy.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline.
Fred, they're writing about us on your favorite blog site.
What's going on?
Boston Sports Media has a reference to this program.
Bruce Allen, yeah.
He writes a whole thing about negativity in the media.
Yesterday. Yeah.
And he writes, things reached something of a tipping point yesterday when someone I thought I was friendly with... Paul Perillo. He doesn't write Paul Perillo, but that's Paul Perillo.
He should have.
Referred to me as psychotic on their radio program. The segment was the usual tired, hyperbolic-ridden one. Bruce attacks anyone who dares to criticize the local teams. He wants the media to be positive all the time, end quote. And then there's a whole continues on. But
wow.
You know, what's funny is the show was really about the Patriots yesterday, not about him. But that's not surprising that he would take it that way. He is a bit of an egomaniac.
And a psychotic.
There's another name. Egomaniac.
Now he's an egomaniacal psychotic.
And he's one of our columnists.
I wonder if he's going to write.
Imagine how we treat the people
who I wonder if he's going to write his column this week.
In all fairness.
Thank you, by the way, to our boy No Socks for pointing that out, because I didn't know that he had done that.
In all fairness, you want to get him on the horn if he wants to defend himself. Absolutely. Or debate it?
Yeah, I mean.
Kevin, Bruce Media, get him on the horn. Please.
Sure. Let's get him on the show.
Well, I don't want to just call him names.
No.
Behind
no.
his back. I want to call him names to his face or to his phone anyway.
Yeah. Sure.
Isn't the right thing to say that? I don't want to be calling him names.
Well, I'm still mad that he was disappointed in
I know,
you.
I know.
He's not your mother. He's not your wife. So get off your high horse. He can't be disappointed in you.
Kevin, go
to his website. Get his email. Email him first. See if he's willing to come on and ask for his
In all
number.
Honesty, Andy, you were much, much more
that,
upset about it
that
than I was.
That bothers me. People have sent me those emails over the years. I think that's the most condescending, asinine thing to say from somebody I don't know and I don't have a close relationship with. And you have absolutely no
Okay.
bearing on my
be
life.
A little bit more succinct.
Okay.
The question,
you're looking for
the question that we need to ask him is there anything that Paul and or Andy or this show have said that you disagree with?
Well, yeah. I mean, well, I haven't read the whole thing, but there's looks like about 20 paragraphs on here.
I'm sure there are.
No, I mean, because if negative criticism is unfair, it's fair to criticize it. You know what I mean? So, like, if someone's being negative and what they're saying is, like, just ridiculous, you should criticize that. But if someone's being negative and what they're saying is fair.
Okay, so how would you describe the negativity that we were talking about related to the Patriots, their defense, and their Super Bowl chances yesterday? Fair or unfair?
No, I think once we hashed it out, it was fair.
What was unfair before we quote-unquote hashed it out?
I think that
Once you told me what my opinion could and couldn't be.
Admitted that it didn't have to be mutually exclusive between thinking the offense was good and the defense was bad.
No, yes, I think that it's not. It's
I'm
not
just kidding
it's
with
not,
you, Fred.
It's
Relax.
Not what's being said. It's where the emphasis is. Is the emphasis always on the negative? And is there a fair amount or an equal amount spent on the positive? And I think that's where fans get upset, is where, you know, and again, they might need to adjust what they're reading, listening, or hearing, but when they turn on the radio, TV, or open the newspaper, and they see all this negative stuff, where's the balance? Where's the balance?
But doesn't a reader or an analyst, I mean a writer or an analyst, make an assessment of which is the final point?
Right, but I think
Will the positive Patriots points, the offense, outweigh the negatives?
Well, but
in
I,
the end.
But I think fans see, look, fans look at it this way. Look, I'm seeing all this negative stuff, but my team is 13-3.
Mm-hmm.
How can it be?
Well, actually, you're 11-3.
11-3. Well, yeah, I'm thinking ahead.
But you're thinking like Bruce Media.
My team is 11-3.
You're a psychotic.
There has to be some positive to this.
And do we really think no one writes about the positives?
Well, that
no one's written about Gronkowski and Brady and Welker.
Particularly,
and that's why I
particularly
said
here at Patriots.com.
I said maybe those people need to adjust what they're seeing, listening, or hearing. Because
it's the same old thing.
I know there is a lot.
You
of
can write a thousand good things, and they're going to pick out the one thing that they don't like.
And
sure.
We also, by the way, we're all guilty of the hyperbole. We all say everyone is saying this, or everyone wants everything positive. You know, Andy and I would argue everybody, they only want to hear everything that's rosy. Well, not everybody wants to hear that.
No.
And the people that are complaining, there's all this negativity. Everybody is piling on the Patriots. No, it's not like that. Not everybody is saying everything negative either. We're both guilty of the hyperbole when it comes to the way the coverage is. And that's part of the way it happens in Boston. But, you know, I'm not here to try to make everybody think like I think, or like Andy thinks, or like Fred thinks. I'm just trying to offer an opinion on different elements of the team and have people form their own opinions.
And an analysis based on history, facts, stats, performance,
I wouldn't
everything.
Just sit there and listen. In 2007, when they were running roughshod over the league, I wasn't sitting there saying every week, I don't know about this. Right. I don't know what's going to happen. No, I wasn't. I was watching with my eyes.
You were
I was
analyzing the 21-point spread.
I was analyzing what was happening on a weekly basis, and I said, yeah, you know what? The other team doesn't have a chance today.
And that's when you became a friend of Bruce Media.
And 18 weeks in a row, we were right. And then we were wrong in the Super Bowl. But it's not like we were looking for something to be negative about. That's not the case. We're just kind of analyzing what's happening with this team now.
Well, and I think that, you know, a lot of times guys like Ron Borges are sort of, you know, given too much weight.
See, I think Ron Borges.
Guy.
I think Ron Borges is a perfect example of what I just talked about with the hyperbole. Everybody thinks Ron Borges is just this negative guy who hates everything. I'll bet you anything, if you read every report card that he wrote this year, overwhelming positive. Overwhelming.
Well, you know, you speak of Bruce Allen on his website just after the Broncos game. He embedded, you know, a clip from Tom Curran talking to Ron Borges after the game. They were doing their little stand-up. And Ron started, and, you know, everything was negative. And Curran literally was rolling his eyes while Borges was talking. And then Curran went at him and said, are you kidding me? You know, and he pointed out what he thought was positive. Okay, so, you know, that's fine.
Well,
but
isn't that perfect, though?
But I think that's what you're looking for.
The show balanced itself
out. I know, but I'm not done yet. So then Borges, on his report card, was nowhere near as critical as he was on that stand-up.
Not on the defense he was.
Well,
but on offense he was.
Bruce Allen said, you know,
glowing.
I guess maybe, you know, when it's in writing, you know, you have to be a lot more careful than when it's something.
That's exactly the condescending kind of thing that Andy's talking about. Well, where it's in writing, you have to be careful. No, I'm sure that he thought after the game that Tom Brady was excellent in the game. But it was the defense that he was negative about. I'll guarantee it.
Oh yeah, yes, it was.
And he was very negative on the defense in the report card.
Right.
Extremely so. I read it.
Yeah.
So I don't think you have to be careful with it. You just some things were positive and some things were negative. But as usual, it's Borges, so we only take the negative for everybody.
Right.
This is not just directed at Bruce. I think everybody thinks Ron Borges is over the top negative, right?
But so Borges has this reputation, and he's asked, "What's your synopsis of the game?" Not what did you think of the defense, and he chose to simply talk about how bad the defense was, whereas Tom Curran said, "Yeah, the defense had a hard time, but they fixed it." And I think this was Tom Brady's best game all season, and the offense's best game all season. They were on point, you know.
Don't you think that might have been planned?
Oh, maybe it was. I don't know.
They have to say two different things.
I think that's what you're looking for.
It didn't look like it was planned because Curran was, while Borges talking, kind of like, really?
I just think on TV, if they both said the same things, it's boring. It's not good
I think
TV.
That's exactly what you're looking for, especially if they engage.
And I'm not saying that Borges said anything he didn't believe or Curran didn't believe. You just position it so it's a debate. So that Borges goes with what he thought was a negative and Tom comes with his positive, and that show then becomes, as a whole, balanced.
And that's great, but I doubt that they put that much thought into it.
No, but don't you just say, it doesn't involve thought. You come down and Curran goes, so, Brady was awesome, huh? And Borges says, too bad the defense sucked. Boom, that's show prep right there.
Well,
that's show prep right there. Okay, we'll go with that.
I didn't get that sense because Borges kind of had they asked the question and, okay, Ron, you go first, and it didn't even seem like he was ready at first, you know. So,
well, you know my theory.
Yeah.
I think he's lost it a little bit.
I think he's lost a step.
Yeah.
So mentally.
But
I love Ronnie.
Look, I
me too. Don't
I
hit me with a cane or anything.
Don't hit me.
You know,
I am getting older now. Don't hit me.
Put a neck brace on, and you're in trouble.
Hey, Hernandez and Benny were back at practice today, non-injury
related. Right. Hernandez.
Spikes was not.
Oh, for crying out
loud. And Vollmer is remaining.
That's big for you. You've put the entirety of this season in his hands.
I think he's
Dane
a very
Christ,
important
Dane Christ will transfer from Notre Dame to Kansas, by the way, quarterback.
So Chung was still out there, but no Spikes, huh?
Correct.
Trouble when Notre Dame can't even get Chris to go there.
That's
according to
that's
Mike
poor
Reese.
To me. All right. Well, anyway, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. Is Eric going to come in before he goes out again?
We should probably say.
After practice.
Yeah. Boston Sports Media. Is the website. I think we keep calling it like Bruce Media. And
yeah,
Bruce,
it's BostonSportsMedia.com, I believe. And he does write a media column for our paper if you're interested in Bruce's stuff.
That's why he thought Paul was his friend.
Hopefully he'll still write that column this week because he's due a column today.
Maybe we'll be the subject of the column.
Well, I'm sure that negativity will be based on the way he's been talking.
There's a lot of negativity on that site. It's just aimed at the media.
Right.
Right.
You know, and that's why I think people love it because...
And what is it... I'm not going to argue with you. It's what people like it, but
other media people love to read about other media people.
Oh yeah, see, I don't think a lot of media people give it much mind.
Oh, okay.
But
Fred does.
I think there's a very good core group of fans that's what they're looking for.
Now, would those
that's
be
why
psychotics?
I want to be careful not to say everyone, but I think there's a good core of people that's what they want to hear.
They want to bash the media.
No, they want to hear positive things about their teams. So that's what they do.
But
that's where they congregate.
Okay.
You know, you go to other places to analyze and look at both sides.
Where we take all comers.
No, I'm talking about just sports in general, not Patriots. Oh. I don't it doesn't have to be just Patriots related. I just find it funny that I go on a local show here and I get criticized to the point where they now have an introduction for me where they call me sunshine.com and put up a funny face of me with a rainbow in the background, Paul Perillo, sunshine.com, and now I'm sort of, you know, what was it?
But you're kind of on that show with, like,
what was it?
The devil and, I mean.
The disappointing.
Eric comes in, his microphone is, he's clapping. Claps.
Negativity and all that. What's the matter?
Kevin.
What are you, the Shah of Iran or something?
You okay?
You never put that Tebow skit together, did you? This SNL thing?
For an open?
Not for an open, but I have it for the poem.
Wow, Eric just comes in and just starts throwing bombs.
And he looks like he wants to fight him. He's turning bright red, like his head's... you look like Paul in there.
He walks in with
I'm bright red?
When you want to fight somebody, yeah.
I would say brown...
That hasn't happened in quite some time.
Crew neck.
Beige.
And just starts throwing bombs.
Yeah. Has Fred ever...
gotten the color right?
Yes. Has he ever categorized your shirt in the correct color?
I don't think so.
You wouldn't say desert brown?
Not only the color,
I would never say anything was desert brown.
I would say brown.
Or tan.
Or beige.
Or tan.
Right, tan.
Desert brown would never...
Khaki.
Well, you could never work for Benjamin Moore, then.
Let me guess.
Have you?
Once in the Caribbean, you worked for Benjamin Moore.
Virgin Islands.
Till he got there, you know what I'm saying?
Or Ben Moore, as us painters say.
Benny?
Benny Moore.
Ben Moore. Eric's back.
Ben Moore done that.
I heard this bad news.
I have a question for you. Will Brandon Spikes ever see the football field again?
Not 2 days in a row.
Apparently not, because he wasn't out there today.
That's not a good sign.
Nor was...
I'm no expert.
And this is a broken record, but nor was Sebastian Vollmer.
Missing Friday practice.
Any chance that they're just going to hold him for the playoffs?
Vollmer or Spikes?
No, Spikes.
Because I was thinking the same thing for Vollmer.
Well, then why was he out yesterday? Just day off, day on?
Maybe he had a setback.
Yeah, I mean, I
wouldn't hold him because my analysis of him is he needs a couple games to start making plays.
Yeah. He hasn't played since when?
I'm not saying that that's
Mr.
what they're doing.
Mr. Instincts
I'm
needs
wondering.
To hone his instincts.
I'm thinking out loud. I'm not saying that that's what Bill's doing. Thinking out loud.
I know you look at it that way, Paul, but we don't really look
at it
that
like
way.
When he tells me
well,
how
I'm
I
sure
think.
There is, I'm sure the feeling is there's no rush to return, but there is a rush to get back into football shape.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Is this to me?
But I'm also.
I mean, there's only two games left before the playoffs.
Before the real games begin.
Right.
I'm also wondering what they're doing with Sebastian Vollmer.
Well,
Bruce,
I think
Bruce
he's really
doesn't
hurt.
Want to come on the radio.
Well, but if he's really hurt, open up a roster spot.
No, but they. Well, first of all, they can't find enough 53 good players to fill this team out right now. Basically,
Kevin. Well, but I'd rather have 53 bodies available than.
I think the value of him possibly playing is important enough to them that they're willing to hold a spot.
How could it be?
Well, they don't even have 53 right now, are they?
No.
They signed Butler, but they still have one.
They still have one open spot.
And they're interchanging
Where are
Jags.
They with the 80-name list? Because you can only have 80 guys total on all the lists added
they
up.
They do not have 27 guys on IR.
They have...
Well, it's not just IR. It's military. It's all that stuff.
They're not even approaching that number.
I don't know. I don't know.
They have 13 guys who are either reserve military, just one, or injured reserve.
So they have room. They have wiggle room. If they want somebody, they
so,
can bring
them.
So
they have five on practice squad. No, eight on,
eight, right. eight on
so
practice
squad. So that's 61 plus 13 is 74.
No, Fred, they have 60 because they only have 52 on the active roster right now.
Oh, okay.
Plus 74 is six less than 80. So if they wanted to put him on IR, they could.
Okay.
I think the value of him potentially playing is greater than just popping him on IR and bringing some Jag body in.
Okay.
They have plenty of Jag bodies all over this roster. No offense to these guys, but, I mean, they have all these offensive linemen that now don't play.
When
Nick
you say,
McDonald.
When you say the
Thomas.
Value of his potentially playing, you mean they think he could potentially play?
Yeah.
Or they're trying to outwit the other?
No. Thought he wasn't, there was no chance of coming back, he'd be on IR.
Okay.
They think he could play in January.
That's what I wanted to make
clear. And it's
He's good
worth
enough.
Waiting. And it's worth waiting.
Now, because that's where I might
That's where the value comes
because,
in.
Because, you're still better off if he's one of your top three tackles.
Yeah. Oh,
in case Light gets hurt.
Absolutely.
I think Solder has actually been better than him.
No, but I'm saying like a guy like Nick McDonald, same position or same, situation.
Would
maybe
be gone.
Right.
Long gone and hard to find.
Exactly.
My guess is that the 53rd spot will be a practice squad call-up this weekend. Markell Carter, maybe. Even a distant long shot, Alex Silvestro, one of the D-lineman guys. That's just my guess, because at this point in the week...
Greg Bedard advocating for Silvestro, he's been...
Has he?
He's a Rutgers
guy.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
He likes his Rutgers
but
guy.
But, just off of what Carter tweeted a couple of weeks ago when the team went to Washington, it looked like he was going to get the call-up, and he didn't. Now there's actually...
He probably didn't, because he tweeted.
Probably. But now there's a legitimate need for his position, so maybe he'll be the one. And at this point, you would have signed somebody by now
probably
off the street, if because... You need to get a body in here and get into the playbook and the game plan and all that.
If you're gonna
do that, or they could just not sign anybody and go with
bump somebody up and whatever.
Yep.
All right, Paul, you should read that. Just express
Bruce.
It.
Yeah, Bruce got our invitation. He feels like it's a no-win situation for him, and I can understand that. He doesn't so he doesn't want to. Thanks, but no thanks. But I did email him back. I just want to make sure he isn't planning on writing his column.
What did you do? What's this?
Paul's in a pissing match with an internet blogger.
Who was more upset about this yesterday?
Andy.
Okay, thank you, Fred. No further questions.
Yeah, but I didn't call him a psychotic. You did.
And I apologize for calling him a name. And
you were insulted that Bruce was disappointed.
Yeah, I think that's
you don't think
ridiculous.
Anybody should be disappointed.
You've
in
gone on
ridiculous.
Three rants about the word disappointing.
That bothers me. It's a pet peeve of mine.
Okay. But don't tell me that I'm mad about it because it's still bothering
you. You called him psychotic.
And I apologize
Paul
for calling
like
him a name.
When you tell him what he thinks.
Anybody that has given you responsibility and you've accepted that
especially
responsibility
those that don't have the
has
means.
A right to be disappointed.
So what
you.
Responsibility did Bruce Allen give Paul?
His friendship. He thought that they were friends.
Well, they weren't friends.
All right, Lord. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
I'm like Jim Rice in the 70s. I have no friends. They're all associates.
508-298-0398. It'd just be you and Felger holding hands, walking down the boardwalk.
No, Felger's in good now with everybody.
Oh, is he?
Because he thinks the Patriots are going to win. Right. He turned the corner. You didn't know?
Win what, the Super Bowl?
No,
yeah.
get to the Super Bowl.
Oh. Yeah. He thinks they're going to get to the Super Bowl.
Then he'll root for the Packers.
Well, that'll be a tough one for him. I mean, Packers are his team.
You know what? He's always been a Packer fan. More power to him.
Always been
a
Packer.
Yeah,
I'm going to go on a limb now and say Packers don't make the Super Bowl.
I'm going to say they both
won't. You know
what?
And I wouldn't be surprised if you're right.
Because numbers say they both won't.
You know?
Although the problem is in the NFC, New Orleans is also numbers-wise shouldn't make it based on previous history. And the one that should make it, San Francisco, I'm not picking Alex Smith to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, I'll tell you what a worrisome thing.
Worry-thumb.
Worrisome thing for Green Bay would be. Their style of play, and you're going to be at home all that time, and I'm not sure those are the best conditions to play the way they play.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, last year they had the benefit. They played in Philadelphia, which was not a great place to play, but the weather
wasn't
terrible.
Bad, no.
Then they went in the dome in Atlanta and lit it up.
Yep.
Then they played at Chicago and got
and had
slowed
a
down a little bit again.
But it was at least like a sunny day. And so.
But they were held to 21 points. Yeah. So. Yep.
And the other team's quarterback got hurt.
That's true.
So you wonder
Hurts
if,
in quotation marks.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You know, Brady has proven that he can play in those conditions. He started time and time again. So you wonder if Aaron Rodgers can do that same thing in the playoffs. In Lambeau.
And they can't just lean on my boy James Starks to get hot at the right time.
And I'm not, this is not a suggestion that Green Bay is overrated or isn't, you know, championship worthy or any of that stuff. I'm just something to worry about if you were the Packers.
They're the Patriots.
Sure.
Did you know they're actually tied in points allowed? I didn't know that at this point. They're 32-31 in yards, and they're tied for 14th in points allowed.
That's pretty amazing.
And they're 1-2 in offense. Like, they're the same team. The MVP quarterback, everything. Mm.
Except we don't have Clay Matthews and playmakers.
Right.
True.
Oh. Could have. But
I love how he mocks it, and then I go, Fred, is Kyle Arrington a playmaker? And he goes, no.
But the results are the same.
But here's the part.
But will the results be the same
part.
When it's Aaron Rodgers versus
let
your
me get my crystal
playmaker?
Ball out.
Can we
stop
for a second?
All I can tell you is what happened.
You admitted that Kyle Arrington is not a playmaker.
Can I just?
But the results are the same.
But they're not. Against Tyler Pelco, they're the same.
Defense is different. Then playmakers on offense.
Can I explain to you something that you just did?
What?
We just got finished giving you a scenario in which Green Bay could be in trouble. You somehow interpreted that into a negative on the Patriots.
Well,
that's what just happened.
No, but
he just said Green Bay is every bit as bad as the Patriots on defense. They're 32-31 and they're tied for 14th. Somehow you said, but yet that Patriots have a chance. No one was talking about the Patriots.
Because
we were talking negatively about Green Bay.
I'm saying that because.
And I think we all just said, I don't think they're going to get there, actually.
I'm saying that because Green Bay is everyone's de facto Super Bowl contender.
But we're talking.
NFC.
See, here's where you go. We're talking about everybody else. What are we talking about?
God forbid we look at the number one seeds in both conferences.
The other thing that I brought up to Andy that. I thought
which, by the way, isn't that another stat? The number ones haven't gotten there as often of late and haven't met as late?
We all know, as much fun as we like to make fun of it, the Wilson Hart is purely objective stats.
Yes, exactly. There's no eyeball test.
And,
there's no subjectivity.
And according to those stats,
if there was,
the Patriots are number four.
I wouldn't have moved Green Bay
at a loss. They must be doing something right.
Yeah, they're the same as Green Bay. Best offense, worst defense. It averages out.
Well, those stats aren't just offensive.
And by the
stats.
Way, no.
But number shouldn't they be higher than four if they're number one?
Let's not get
in
too
the
specific
AFC?
Into the stats.
Shouldn't you be higher than one?
It's proprietary.
Shouldn't you have a better? You're higher than Houston. Shouldn't you be number one?
I think Houston is a better all around team.
Wow.
When healthy,
you run in there and get the tape.
I think
right now or when healthy.
Right now. Oh, no, not right now.
You don't even believe your own crap.
Not, those are not week-by-week stats. Those are cumulative stats for all season. I think when healthy, they're a better all-around team. I think right now,
they might be
Houston
the best.
Has a better defense than the Patriots.
Houston might be.
Is there anyone arguing that?
No,
well, I don't know. I wouldn't argue that Green Bay's defense isn't better than the Patriots, but you would.
I think they're about the same.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm not surprised, but that's all right. I mean, you know.
I don't see the Patriots allowing 21 points in the fourth quarter when they're up by 30, like Green Bay does routinely.
You know,
I don't see that. I see the Patriots having to hold on at the end of the game to get a stop and win and hold on to win. I don't see that. Green Bay has been trailing one time all season in the fourth quarter.
And they almost lost it with the Giants.
Well, they did lose it. Yeah. They lost it to the Kansas City Chiefs last week. That's the first time all year they've been trailing in the fourth quarter.
No, they trailed the Giants.
Not in the fourth quarter.
Rodgers had to come back.
In a tie game.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Not in the fourth quarter.
All right, they would, you know. But All right.
You're right.
I clearly remember Rodgers having to, you know, perform one of his
in a tie game
against the Giants.
In a tie game.
Okay, or it was tied. All right, I'm sorry.
So all I said was they hadn't trailed all year in the fourth quarter, which tells me that their defense has given up a lot of fake
yardage
and
numbers. You're trying to make the point that it was
the Patriots haven't been doing
spread.
That.
It wasn't a big spread against the Giants. It was a very close game.
First of all, I didn't say that. As you said, we were using cumulative stats, and I was talking about the whole season. They haven't trailed in the fourth quarter but one time. All year. That's all I said.
Right. Well,
I didn't say anything about the Giants game.
Your point is that all these yards they gave up were all garbage yards.
They have been. Go back and look.
It wasn't against the Giants.
That wasn't the case against the Giants, but go back and look at the balance of the season. 21-point lead in the fourth quarter against San Diego. They gave up two touchdowns.
You know, when their defense is tested, they're about to like the Patriots. All right.
If you want to believe that, that's fine.
We'll see in the
Super Bowl. That'll make you feel better.
I'll be rooting for the Patriots. You can root for the Green Bay Packers, and we'll see what happens.
I'll probably be rooting for the Ravens.
Packers aren't getting there. Telling you right now.
What's that?
Packers aren't getting there.
You might be right. I'm starting to think that. You know, I thought.
Uh-oh, Paul got another email.
A few weeks ago, I would think it was a foregone conclusion. I'm not so sure now.
No.
You know?
Just because of the loss, or
no? I didn't think they were going to get there to begin with. I didn't think they'd go 16-0, and I also didn't think they're going to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
very tough to repeat in this league.
It is, and as I said, a lot of the numbers don't necessarily belie a Super Bowl contender and champion. But the NFC is just weird because I have no confidence in San Francisco, though they look the most playoff ready. And
I think the Saints could beat them.
Oh, I think
the Saints could definitely be. I'll give you something that I thought was interesting about the Saints, real quick, is there seems to be a notion that New Orleans wants to play in Green Bay because they feel like they have the better running game. Their running game will travel. And obviously Green Bay is not going to beat you.
Well, I know
way.
Sean Payton has said the only thing keeping
Peter
Mark
King
Ingram
wrote that
from being
week.
A rookie of the year is me. In our offense, you know, we haven't asked him to be the rookie of the year. He could be the rookie of the year.
I would argue that in talents, but I understand his point.
He just poo-poos everything everyone else says.
No, but I did think that was an interesting thing, and Peter King's not exactly my favorite, but I thought that was an interesting point because I do think they're very similar setups with their teams. They have both have great quarterbacks, great passing games, suspect defenses that allow some yardage, but I think New Orleans has the better running game. With Pierre Thomas and Mark Ingram.
I think
Sproles out
the
of the
Packers
back,
have the better defense. I get down to playmakers. Can I count on
Packers
somebody to make a play?
Absolutely have the better
suck,
defense.
But just make a play. Make a play at some point. I pick the Packers over the Saints.
Okay, let me put the Bruce thing to rest, Fred.
Yes.
And I think that we can set this up. He would like to come in at some time because he's a little leery of the phone thing, and I understand his point on this one. Because sometimes you can get sort of beaten up on the phone. You don't have a chance to right. defend yourself. So he'd like sometime, you know, if we could work, maybe during the playoffs, we could work it out. I don't know. So we'll try to set that up. And he is doing his column, which is the best news. So we don't have to put a full page ad in there.
All right.
So I do appreciate that, Bruce, and thanks for being a good sport. You psychotic. I'm kidding.
Quick email before we go to a break. Paul writes in, the truth is never negative. It informs. It allows people to see the whole picture.
That's what I said.
So, and that's true. But, you know, there is no capital T as in truth when it comes to judging a sports team.
That's very true.
You know,
we just looked at two different defenses and we have different opinions. There's no truth when it comes to that.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I'm going to read Dan Heffron's poem, which Kevin has done quite a bit of work with effects. So
I don't buy it.
This should be good. All right, we'll be right back.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Be an MVP this holiday season and give the Patriot fan on your list a gift from the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise on the planet. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, t-shirts, autographed memorabilia, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone. Glad you could make it to the house. Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yeah. Grandma, let's start with you.
Hazelnut, please.
Cousin Mark?
Original blend.
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't
it? Right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
Really hot,
it was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays.
Yeah, they do. But right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
Really? Yeah, I can't help it.
I got it, Jim.
No,
you got to make it. You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in what are we? Oh, PFW in progress.
You're supposed to say. Live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios occasionally, I think.
Oh, you just said it, so I don't have to.
Okay, but I think we're supposed to throw that around a little bit.
Probably.
They paid us for it.
I don't see any food from Subway in front of me.
No, but I see food from Warren Ladd, our good friend.
I know. So
yes, thanks, mate. The Warren Ladd
I
Fresh.
I was just going to say, coming from the Warren Ladd Fresh broadcast studios. Thanks, Warren.
Well, I was going to say memorial, but then
he's dead. Yeah.
I got into
he probably doesn't want that. Honorary.
I got
honorary.
Into it a little bit with Warren on the Twitter yesterday. But
you what? Why?
Well, we went back and forth.
I saw that. I was in on that chain. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. First time I've seen you in a twisting match, Fred.
No, I did before and with another person that I quickly, abruptly stopped it because I could tell it was getting
ugly.
Yeah, it was getting a little personal.
Oh. It was a funny one, though.
So what did Andy say to you?
No, it wasn't me.
So, all right, web radio at patriots.com.
I did want to. I mentioned to you when I was driving home yesterday, EEI was having this exact show. This exact show that we had yesterday. And you were Mike Adams, and I think Rob Bradford might have been in there, and it was the exact show.
Listen to me.
Sorry about that. I'm glad you brought that up because, real quick, that's the definition of psychotic. I misspoke. Mike Adams is a psychotic. I don't know how he ever got a job, and that passes as some sort of analysis or objectivity at all. It's an embarrassment.
You talking to Fred or Mike?
Mike Adams is an absolute. Fred is the bastion of.
Did he say it was disappointing?
Objectivity. It's disappointing.
All right. So let's see.
That was weak.
Are you ready, Kevin? Ready?
Poem time.
Yeah, we're gonna do Dan Heffron's poem, "The Night Before Christmas."
Have you pre-read?
He never gets the meter right, though. He always goes a little too long with the sentences.
The meter is wrong.
Which contributes to your inability to read it correctly.
Do we have to criticize everybody?
Yes. All right, so I'll start it.
This is your first time on the show?
Be more positive.
So this is the 10th time.
Wow, see? A decade he's been doing this, and all of them are good.
Twas the night. No. Oh, let me start again.
Three words in.
What are we shooting, PFW TV here?
Twas a few nights before Christmas on PFW and before the year is adjourned. It's time for the 10th annual Christmas poem to look back at what we've learned. Before the draft, his hopes for Quinn, Andy often repeated.
That's
Andy beat Fred in a push-up contest.
You know what made it even better? Is when, Andy's naming his testes. If we could insert, like, Rashard Mendenhall.
Yeah,
as the name.
Yes.
Here we go.
That's Mendenhall and Quinn.
I can
amend
that.
Okay, so, Kevin, stop the music for a second. Stop the music. Okay, so, here's the thing. You know, they have these couplets here, okay? So each you know, the two lines that rhyme are called couplets.
Gotcha.
We probably don't want to do a drop-in until after the couplet because it breaks up the rhyme.
All right, well, then I'll have to cut all the work I didn't have, unfortunately.
Can you just do the drop-in after the couplet, and I'll just keep reading through it?
Sounds good.
So you know what we're doing? Okay. So
you want to start from the beginning?
Can I also add
do it
the
over?
Drop in? Just to be like a quick drop in, segment of a show.
Part of the fun that I had in doing this actually was going back and looking at all the crazy crap you guys did.
You want to take it from the top then?
Yeah, let's take it from the top.
Yeah, and Dan, I'm sorry already for what they're doing to your great poem.
All right, ready? Music's a little fast tempo, but that's all. I'll work with it. 'Twas a few nights before Christmas on PFW, and before the year is adjourned, it's time for the 10th annual Christmas poem, a look back at what we've learned. Before the draft, his hopes for Quinn, Andy often repeated. Andy beat Fred in a push-up contest. Fred said Andy cheated.
40.
41.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
21.
He's 45.
21. 22. 23.
He's at 50.
24. Fred's head is getting very red. 25. 26.
He's at 55 right now.
Tell Fred to 29. Stop talking and do
Fred,
some damn
the
push-ups.
Back of Fred's head.
60.
Out. 31.
Andy just did 60.
The back of Fred's
head.
Go screw yourself, old man. The abilities of Tim Tebow were the year's most common fight. PFW and Progress references were sprinkled throughout in plain sight.
Yes, I, Jesus Christ, am indeed the reason you've won your past six football games.
Okay. I knew it!
Oh, Tim, easy. Hey, buddy, leave a little room for the Holy Ghost, okay? All right. You see, the point is, you guys got to help yourselves a little. I mean, can you do that for me?
Yes.
Who do you play next?
The Patriots.
Oh, boy, really? Wow, okay. Did not know that. That's going to be a tough one. I mean, hey, this doesn't leave this room, okay? But if I'm the son of God, Tom Brady's got to be the guy's nephew, all right?
Jeff in Vegas was the PFW in Progress gambling advisor. On his son's birthday, Paul was recognized while at the ice cream store.
Heavens to Betsy!
That's a good one. Sure. Fred got everybody pitching in towns with inappropriate names that all sounded quite rude. As a kid, Andy had a Molotov cocktail thrown at his house, probably by some Irish dude.
Cock and pig.
The pregame social was added, so on Sunday the guys could be heard. Eric was asked if he spoke Italian. He said, of course, then refused to say a word.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
Chocolate doesn't taste like chocolate was something of which Andy made a note. You're exactly the same as us, only opposite, was Paul's competing quote. Woo! Even though he gets lobster, Fred says that he never liked Thanksgiving. Eric claimed he used to be a stand-up comedian, but when your only funny line came by accident, you can't make a living. Screw you guys. Brian Lowe and No Socks joined one show, which made the listeners scoff. During the summer of Andy, each week Andy took Tuesdays off.
Boy, the studio just got really crowded. There's a lot going on here.
It's still less crowded, though, than when Andy's here with his big head.
That's true.
More breathing room, anyway.
Early this summer, we had Bruins Hockey Weekly in Progress for a little while, and Andy hosted a show with Three Wise with a cringe-inducing style.
Get the duck boats ready! After 39 long years, the Cup is back home! The Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champion!
Dan makes note that he's not complaining about the Bruins coverage because there was a lockout and there wasn't a lot to talk about. Eric went fishing with QB coach Josh Boyer. That was pretty cool.
That's DB coach.
Yeah. Oh, DB coach Josh Boyer. That was pretty cool. Paul and Fred both admitted that they cheated in high school.
My goal was always to do just enough to get by.
It's never changed. Fred was once the driver for Paul Tagliabue and asked questions of all sorts. The Danny Woodhead debate devolved into who eats cookies and snacks during games and evoked Harbaugh versus Schwartz.
Fred, you don't even believe your own crap now. You don't.
Anthony in Naples called for Belichick to be fired. His reaction was knee-jerk. Kevin told us he wasn't allowed to use his bathtub before he left for work.
Now, Kevin can be there, obviously, to offer insight.
I don't remember that.
Andy's proudest moment of the year was when the Wilson Hart rankings were debuted. Or was it when he stumped Coach Belichick with a kickoff question, most shrewd?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, Andy.
At Philo's wedding, Andy and Paul didn't wear a yarmulke, and Fred claimed he wasn't invited. Paul got ignored when the food came around, so his temper was ignited.
The guy couldn't be more agreeable. Maybe zero hot in 10 seconds flat isn't what we're looking for.
Paul said after 20 minutes he was hooked on the show Revenge, but we haven't heard much since. When Eric claimed he invented the "why don't they make the whole plane like a black box" joke, it just made me wince.
I heard it's retarded or something.
Taylor Price conspiracy theories abounded on PFW until he was let go. Looking to get back in Coach Bill's good graces, Ken Walter wrote into the show.
I love Walter!
To replace PFW favorite Price, they brought in a fourth stringer who could hike it. Andy brought his wife a bra to make her two sizes bigger, but she didn't like it.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
Fred told us he went with Robert Kraft to see the Final Four early in his career. Big Al phoned in after the Indy win to give us the rant of the year. Listener on listener crime took off, and Jeff took the brunt of the beating. Eric was grilled for ordering his steak medium well, which he didn't wind up eating.
So where's this? Please live.
The new intern looks like Jessica Simpson, so she must be a lovely lass, unlike the one girl Paul saw when he spoke to a media class.
Oh, hot. Why don't you touch the hiney?
Fred had to put his dog down. Sadly, I had to do the same. To cheer things up, we shout out to former PFW.
What's up, Shane?
Shane, Brian, Frank the Tank, Mike, and the sheriff we cannot name. Doc gave Fred the wrong number on the new phone line's first day in a minor slip. Eric might have hooked up with a listener while on the Philly trip.
As soon as everybody gets off, we're going to grab them and have a party.
Andy's crush on Brooklyn Decker was something he'd often mimic. I won't defend Tim's poem from Andy's verbal beatdown because Tim tried to steal my gimmick.
We also have an email from Tim in Pensacola. Fred. You know, Fred's boy and your arch enemy.
Suddenly
your arch enemy.
Yeah, that really escalated.
It did. It did. As I promised, however, here is my poem on this game.
When did we become open mic night for poetry?
None would say this week looks bleak, for it is the Redskins, the Patriots, we will meet. Terrible.
What was that?
Bleak.
Where's the rhyme?
Bleak meat. But these fans may have some reason to worry, for according to Andy, the road may be bleak and blurry.
What did you graduate from? Dumbass University?
You're making me feel like Tony Mads. I can't compose myself.
Okay, guys, keep going.
It is bad because at tight end we have a Jag.
It's bad because I'm going to suck
Gronk, who according to Andy is not fit to carry Witten's bags.
Is this like free verse or whatever? Where's the rhyming here?
Didn't line up.
Some guy named Gronk, who according to Andy is fit.
Others would say our receivers cannot go very fast, but do not worry, things are not so bad.
What is going on here? I'll tell you what's bad.
With his power, Carter smashes defenders out of his way. In his speed, Anderson crashes into QBs all day.
Hey, Wednesday!
I am the winner.
All right.
Oh, yeah, hey.
The segments where listeners called in about their dreams were both bizarre and outstanding. Fred actually tried to take a pee while the flight from Denver was landing. It's been another great year that you guys have kept us hollering and hooting. I have to say, when Ann from the Pikes Peak fan club called in, she sounded like my Aunt Jo from Newton. Since this is the 10th annual poem, I've written these poems for a decade. The most astounding thing in those 10 years was Fred's naked bumper cars in 7th grade. To Eric, Paul, Andy, Fred, Kevin, and all the listeners we shouldn't take lightly, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to all, and Jets fans, you can bite me.
All it's right. Beginning to feel a lot like Christmas.
Good job.
Ferreira sucks. Merry Christmas.
As usual. Very well done, Dan.
Half dozen things I didn't remember I'd probably put it
oh,
in.
Oh, there's all
there's
kinds
always.
Of things.
Yeah. I want to see his great. Notebook. I want to see his notebook.
I don't know how he does it.
No, that's
he takes
a good
notes
one.
During the year. He's got to. Yeah.
He's got to have some system.
He compiles
but
it
still,
throughout the
year.
You have to think of these random things that we say, and then, oh, I know what I can rhyme it with. It's just,
but he treats this show like you
well
treat
done.
Exactly
early 90s football games.
Yeah.
He more, might, like, more like late 70s, but
well, whatever,
I get your
whatever.
Point.
Useless information that
useless
pops
information
into his head and
that gives
use.
Me nothing whatsoever in life.
Yeah, he makes a better right. use of it. He puts together a nice poem that makes everybody laugh and be happy.
All right.
And
five
he and I have netted the same out of those two skills.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eldridge has been holding on for 35 minutes and 8 seconds. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays to y'all, too. You got me laughing on that poem, and I liked it.
That was good, huh?
Great to hear from
yeah,
you, Eldridge.
Very great. Getting back to Paul, you know, everybody's tomorrow jumping on your criticism, you know, the team.
Right. Yeah, I'm
well,
used to
don't
it.
Feel bad. They're jumping on me tomorrow. I'm panicking, but I'm not panicking. I hold this team to a higher standard and special Belichick. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean.
Being critical about the defense no, is that you're panicking.
Hey,
because I think they should be better. I agree with you.
I'm disappointed in him.
No, I don't use those terms.
If this was Cincinnati, they'd be having a parade
no,
right
I
now.
I just feel like we could have won, you know, maybe three of the last four, like we did earlier in the decade, if we had a defense to augment Brady. That's how I feel.
I think so, too. And you know, everybody keeps saying, what I heard on John Rook, that some of the listeners say I'm panicking. Nope, not panicking. Nope. Between Green Bay and our defense, their corners are better. Safeties are better. They got playmakers in the back. They can run with receivers and cover. And if Aaron's on, he's on. But I think we'll win. I'm happy that our team is 11-3, and I'll be ecstatic at 13-3.
Yep.
And I just don't like one playoff game and out. And everybody's feeling like it's all right to do that, but not me.
Well, sorry, yeah.
I'm with you. And I'll take my – if they get to the Super Bowl and they play Green Bay, I'll take my shot. I'll go there, and I feel like they'll have a good shot. Absolutely.
I'll go with my team regardless. But, like I said, it's just that for Belichick, I can't see him with a defense that low ranking. And them guys can get paid millions of dollars that they can't hit and tackle. That's what I can understand.
That's a good point, Eldridge.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how many are making millions.
No, but over
the ones that can't hit and tackle.
You're making six figures a year for a couple of years, you're a millionaire.
These guys
are millionaires.
The only thing I would question is, with a defense, sure, they'd be phenomenal. They could compete for – I don't think Bill has not tried to have a defense.
No, but that's why I'm disappointed.
Swung and missed.
Yeah.
Too many times.
Absolutely.
In the draft and in free agency and in trades.
And he's passed up on people that he
– If there's like
But
a
he didn't intentionally – there was no intention. He thought – He could get by with Derek Burgess.
Right.
He could get by with Jermaine Cunningham.
I know.
He thought that was the best route. It wasn't. That's the problem.
When everyone else in the world was saying it wasn't.
Wow.
Well, I don't know about Jermaine Cunningham. No one really
knows. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
No.
We all said, why is he taking
why
this
is he
guy?
Taking, yeah.
This high.
Okay.
And everybody said, I don't want to be obvious, but Carlos Dunlap seems like he's better and he's on the same team. And now Carlos Dunlap has produced in the NFL and Cunningham is irrelevant.
But in Bill's, on the verge of being cut.
But in Bill's defense, it's certainly other things that everybody else in the world thought he was wrong about that he's been proven right about.
Like what?
I don't know. Quarterback, maybe?
Well, if we're going to turn it back 11 years.
Why was he the only guy?
I don't know.
That
you make fun of me when I say I picked the Bucks to win the 0-2 Super Bowl. He's going to rely on the fact that he took Tom Brady?
But, Andy, do you really think that you have to go back to 2002 to find the last thing that Bill Belichick did that proved out to be right?
Totally against the grain, right?
Well, totally against the grain, right? I don't know.
How many things he was the only guy
that took Gronkowski in the second round.
I was telling him to take him in the second
round. How many things has he been totally...
Okay, so you're always right.
Right.
No, my point is, it's not good when the genius is right almost as often as the dimwit who spends a couple weeks at the combine and reads a little crap on the internet and watches a little tape.
That's the only thing I ever agree with you with. You are a dimwit. But what specifically, besides...
What does it make you when you skip the combine 7 years in a row?
Besides the
fat, old, and grumpy,
he
Jermaine
be
Cunningham
on that FedEx commercial. Remember that guy?
The guy who talked a million miles an hour.
Pete.
Who? He had a mustache.
The guy Pete. He's
the
guy
not the Micro Machines man. I can't talk.
Yeah,
about
the Micro Machines.
I forget his name.
He's ridiculous. Yeah.
Names, addresses, phone numbers. Yeah. All right, you had the Cunningham one as an example of something that seemed like everybody else was questioning, and so far, and I would agree, hasn't worked out. But have there been a lot of those that everybody was like, "What's he doing?" and then.
What's he done?
I think the Brace one wasn't exactly a popular pick.
There's been a lot of unpopular. I mean, I don't think the Rossi Dowling was a popular pick. But
sure. Yeah, we were right.
Devin McCourty wasn't really a popular pick.
Matthew Slater.
Well, you know, but that's different. Devin McCourty was going to go in the 20s.
He was a good
player.
I'm
not sure Rossi Dowling was definitely going to be the first pick of the second round. I'm not sure Ron Brace was going to go where he went. I'm talking more about that. If you didn't like McCourty, that's fine. You wanted Kyle Wilson? Well, that's irrelevant. They're two corners that weren't going to go in the
20s. I thought they were the same.
So that wasn't, I mean, that was a consensus pick, essentially.
Yeah, but you understand what my point is?
No.
I don't think that he has made, like you said, he's gone after players that he thought were the answers. Now,
right.
You can criticize him for taking the wrong pick. I don't necessarily think it's been a situation where he's been on an island.
Well,
often.
I remember when they took Mankins, taking a lineman from Fresno, a guard. I thought you don't take guards in the first round. Well, it was a good pick.
Right. No, I agree. But I'm saying, like, Cunningham, literally, when he's announcing the pick, he said, you know, I know Dunlap was the MVP of that game, but I thought Cunningham was just as good. Well, everybody thought Dunlap was better. Urban Meyer,
yep.
The MVP voters, everybody, all of us. And we were right. He went against the grain and lost.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. I think he outsmarts himself sometimes.
That's certainly an example. Cunningham, because the guy was right there, right playing right next to him.
So much to the
That's
point that
example.
Bill even said, you know, he was the MVP, but I thought this guy was just as good.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't, clearly, because the other guy's making plays in the NFL, and your guy didn't play for you all year and is now on IR and is irrelevant.
And is going to get cut at the end of training camp.
Literally could be next in line for the second-round cut.
Don't you think, though, that on every team, and I don't think there's an exception that happens.
But here's the thing. Why do we hold ourselves to a higher standard and we're better than everybody else in other things, but then when we have something that goes bad,
Well, we're just like everybody else. I mean, everybody. You're absolutely right.
No,
everybody
but,
has.
But people. Look, I've the heard reason, people say he should be fired.
Well, come
of
on.
This.
But in all seriousness,
oh, we have heard that.
Who? Anthony in Naples when he was mad that day.
No, you know all the letters we get, Paul.
And how many do you think really want to fire Bill Belichick?
I think if it's one person, it's too many.
Well, that's insane.
No, it isn't. Come on.
Well, you think that anybody that would have that mindset would
is
be...
insane. Okay. Insane.
As long as we're having a balanced show. Okay.
No, come on.
So
balanced
one,
is looking
know,
at...
One or two guys out of the millions of people that come to our website every day send emails saying that we should fire the head coach who won three titles.
Every time we
That's
lose
insane.
A, every time we lose a game... We
right.
get it. Every,
right. And then when we win a game, those same people write in, I'm sorry, I was mad last week.
Whatever.
I was speaking emotionally.
Every time we lose a game,
come on.
We get the Belichick GM should be fired, blah,
Fred,
blah, blah.
I mean, Andy, you know what the follow-up to I'm disappointed in that? You're better than that, Fred.
You know it's true, though, Paul. And we laugh at it, as we
of
should.
Of course we do, because we
laugh,
know they're not being serious.
But,
they're just mad.
No, they
and
are
they're
serious.
Venting.
They're
you're on the blog, the live chat. Every game, and what happens every time we give up a touchdown?
Right. Oh, absolutely.
But do you really think those people think we stink?
You
really think that they don't think we're going to come back and win the game?
A lot of times they don't.
You're out of your mind.
They don't.
They wouldn't be on that chat if they didn't think we were going to win.
I have people.
Why would you watch and why would you be on that chat?
I have people. They're like, I'm out of here, and you never hear from them again. They fall behind by a touchdown.
But you honestly think that they're not watching?
Oh, maybe they
like
are.
Like they've given up. I'm out of here. I've given up. I don't know. They win? It's Tuesday. Yeah. I don't know. What happened on Sunday? They win?
I'm telling you, we're spoiled as hell.
Of course we are. It's Boston. We're spoiled.
Tracy in Vegas says, Andy, enough with the truth is never mean. The truth can actually be most cruel. When someone tells me I'm too tall, I'm 5'3", or I'm too fat, I'm 110, or something else that I know is not true, it doesn't bother me at all. But point out my shortcomings or failures, and it's hurtful. And intentionally causing someone pain is mean.
I don't do that.
Tracy,
I actually have a rule that I can't tell you the name of, but I do not do that.
I've said that to him
many,
many, many times.
You don't intentionally try to hurt people?
No, I never. Like, if you were clinically obese. No. Paul, back
Wait
me
a
up. I have a rule
Wait
on this.
Are you trying to tell me that I'm not bald?
Well, yeah.
That I'm not old? And I'm not fat?
You're not old.
You say that
you're 42
all
or something.
Three of those things you say on a.
You're not old and you're not fat.
Hourly basis.
And you have a little stubble up there.
All right. See,
he
now,
really thinks that that's
no,
okay.
Can you be honest? I have a rule.
It doesn't
do
bother.
Do I not have a rule?
You do have a rule,
Thank
but
you.
It doesn't bother me. It's
if he was really gay, I wouldn't call him gay. Well, I'm pointing to
all,
Eric.
First of all, that doesn't make it right.
What's wrong with being gay?
Nothing.
Then why do you make fun
but
of him?
But if he were really gay and he were really tortured, I wouldn't do it. I'm not trying to drive
but
him to suicide.
What about all the other people out there that are gay?
I've never made fun of them for being gay.
But you're saying that's a bad thing.
No,
you're making fun
it's
of
being...
Them.
You know what I mean.
I do know what you mean, unfortunately.
Do I really think you're
Tracy,
clinically obese?
I'm
you may have
you.
A heart attack
I'm
at
with
any
Tracy.
Point.
I
am obese.
But you're not ridiculously fat.
The truth can definitely be mean.
In medical terms, I'm obese.
Yeah, but so am I.
Yeah.
So
no,
am
not.
I. Yes,
oh,
I
yes,
am.
He is.
Yes, I am. My BMI is through the roof
really?
Past what it's supposed to be.
Because I only weigh a little bit more than Andy, and I know I am.
But we can take this to the mall test again. If you walk down the mall, I can find 30 dozen people that are fatter than you in this country.
What I want to know
well,
is
I have fat shoulders, so it hides it.
Who's telling Tracy she's too tall at 5'3"?
Well, she's saying she's using that as an example.
I'm kidding, Paul.
Like, no. If,
like
not,
if someone
5'3",
said that,
110,
you know,
it does sound like she's carrying a little extra.
It's unbelievable.
Tracy
she doesn't intentionally try to make people feel bad, though.
People's
insecurities. She's 110. She's not fat.
I love Tracy.
People's insecurities are based in facts, and pointing out those insecurities is hurtful and mean. So, Andy, while your observations may be accurate, the way in which you present them is mean.
That's what Paul says. It's tone.
Exactly. It's a
tonality
issue. I say it to him every Sunday. He drives listeners away from our program on a weekly
no,
basis.
No, I don't.
No, I know, because you were very, very understanding of Tim's poem.
Well, everybody else hates it.
It doesn't rhyme!
Brett and Lemonster says...
Well, I'm with him there. A poem should rhyme.
And no one asked him to send a poem, so if he's going to openly just offer to send a poem, you're opening yourself up to criticism,
Eric,
especially when it doesn't rhyme.
Now, you compare... What you just said. Repeat that.
I said I agree with Andy. A poem should rhyme.
Do you think that's the same as
well, no,
Andy in the background
poems.
Of the clip
true.
That Kevin was playing?
What I said. What
you said
from right, Dumbass right, University.
You said in a very calm tone, well, you know, really, a poem should rhyme. A very valid criticism. Mm. Very valid. That's the truth not being mean.
Well, it depends on the
you
style.
You saying that,
poem.
Asking him if he no, went to Dumbass University, that's not, I mean, that's the truth. I mean, it didn't rhyme, and you were criticizing the poem.
It's a tonality issue, Andy. You have to work on that.
Well, we're going over the audio clips. I think that's the first time I've ever heard the push-up contest with you yelling in the background. That's very funny.
I think there was
yelling
like,
while he's still trying to do the push-ups.
No, he's not happy.
I think Eric and I were very subtly apart. Like, Eric's like, you know, 51, 52, 53, and I'm going 21, 22. And then he stopped and I'm going 22, 22. And I've got Fred's face is getting very red.
Yeah, the back of his head is now red.
Brett in Leominster says, I never know what I'm going to hear when listening to PFW Progress, but I never expected to hear the word couplet coming from Fred. That made me laugh.
Made us laugh, too.
Yeah. The guy who doesn't know the linebacker who's been here for 5 years remembers couplet.
The guy who couldn't remember the name of the show when we came back from the break.
That's true.
Break.
By the way, Fred, add Nick Barnett to the guys that I think are better than Gerard Mayo. Just looking ahead to the Bills. Nick Barnett opened his career with five straight seasons of 100-plus tackles, multiple sacks, multiple interceptions, and fumble recoveries every single year. Wow.
So everything's the same except the multiple sacks.
And just so you know, Nick Barnett's a Jag.
Well, he's a Bill, but...
Yeah. On this team, he wouldn't be.
Because Posluszny's a Jag.
No, he's a Jag.
That allowed Barnett to be a Bill.
I mean, he was on Green Bay.
Right.
And... he was a under-the-radar sort of...
Well, he got hurt last year.
No, I know, but he was not a commodity in free agency.
Right.
He's just
that
an average...
kind of my point.
He's just an average guy.
Phil says, yesterday's show was great as always. I particularly like Fred's constant shifting of position during the discussions.
Oh, those are my favorites.
If I was a new listener, I would think Fred was taking a contrarian position just to ferment some debate, but having listened for a while, I can't give him that much credit. for what it's worth, I wouldn't trust this defense to stop a nosebleed. We'll go as far as the offense takes us, but the worry is that the other postseason teams all have very good to excellent defenses, so scoring 30-plus points will be no gimme. Don't have a great deal of expectation for the postseason, but I'll enjoy the ride anyway. That is, as long as we don't lose to the Jets again.
Not all the other teams have good or great defenses.
No.
Packers, Saints, Jets. Those are the ones that you should point to if you're a Patriots fan. The others are good. Pittsburgh's good.
Houston's good.
Baltimore's good. San Francisco's good.
Yeah.
And then I don't know who else is going to be in there.
But then
Dallas is pretty good in points. No, they're just ahead of us in points, actually.
Yeah, Dallas is really
13th.
They're
I
in
think.
A free fall right now, too. Defensively, they've been getting gashed.
Eagles could win that division. Dream team. Resurrected.
I think.
Even if they win the Super Bowl, I'm pretty sure Dream Team would not be appropriate to describe how they went through it.
12-8 wouldn't
nightmare.
Be good enough.
Nightmare.
You think 12-8 right. not good enough for a Dream Team?
But you know what? They still give you rings.
The thing I worry about this team going into the playoffs is the majority of the roster is populated by guys who've never won a playoff game, who don't know what that's like. The number of people who have won Super Bowls and playoff games is you can count on two hands.
Andy, you know,
and I worry that they don't know how to do it, and until they actually do it,
we need to learn from him. There's a tonality right there that's fine because I've said the same kind of stuff that he just said, and I get attacked. And he's absolutely right.
Well, they do call him Negativino. Let's not pretend
he doesn't go without
his critics.
But he knows enough when to tone it down, and now no one will.
Well, listen. He learned from last week when he went, and I think Tim Tebow's going to roll over the Patriots, baby!
Oh, yeah. Remember every pick? You know,
yes.
Wait till we get to that portion of the show today, by the way. And
I already saw
didn't have a good week
of
last week,
in the paper.
No, you didn't. But if you look at the roster, I mean, I think a lot of people still look at it and they say, well, experience. Patriots have the experience. Well,
yeah, they don't.
You know what?
They don't.
Patriots' experience right now ain't good. It's just
true.
Not.
They're
they
lucky.
Have,
they're
they
lucky
have a handful
that, right.
of guys that were part of wins.
They're,
Brady,
yeah.
Light, Falk,
Will Fork, Welker.
Not really.
Mm-hmm. Well, not Super Bowl wins, but playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean.
You know, they have a very small number of guys that have won even one Super Bowl.
Mm.
Right.
Will Fork won one. Yeah.
Whereas... Pittsburgh
whereas,
has it.
Whereas
has
we
it.
Have
Green Bay
New
has
Orleans.
It.
We
New
now
Orleans
have
has it.
The,
right.
the majority of our guys now not only weren't a part of the Super Bowl wins, they haven't been part of, as Eric pointed out, playoff wins.
Yeah.
Guys like Mayo and Chung and Spikes and
yep.
key guys mm-hmm. on the defense,
sure.
the majority of which
and not
hasn't had any success.
Not saying they can't do it, but
no,
I like
what they've done on the road, especially recently.
Sure.
They've been under
but,
they've
know,
been, three the last three road games they've fallen behind. Mm-hmm. And they've responded to that. And that's why
it's important to have Kevin Faulks still on the roster. And, you know, so I'm sure that was part of the thinking. Tony writes in, Andy, I'm disappointed in you. What kind of role model are you? What am I going to tell my kids? You see, more than the rest of PFW boys, all of whom, by the way, are wonderful humanitarians, I look for you for deep, hard-hitting and unbiased analysis. But your argument with Fred on the Pats' defense has put you squarely in the hypocritical camp.
Uh-oh, what'd I do now?
Your Wilson Hart Power Index has the Pats at number 4. While you refuse to share your data, you use your PI calculations. I would have to think that defensive stats must account for between 33 and 50% of the calculation.
That's accurate.
So unless the Patriots' offense is otherworldly good, how can they be fourth?
Because the offense is otherworldly
good.
They've scored 35 points in, what, 11 games or something like that?
The most obvious problem with your rankings is New Orleans. The Saints' offense must at least be considered in the same area code as the Patriots in terms of production. Since the Pats have the worst defense of the league, New Orleans must have a better defense. And since the Patriots' special teams, with the possible exception of punt returns, have been anything the Saints, anything like the Saints, must have a better special teams. Given all that, how can they be ranked number 9, 5 slots behind the Pats? So which is it? Are the Pats better on defense than you're letting on, or is the Wilson Hart Index wrong? And lastly, while the defense has no playmakers, it's pretty interesting that they have the most takeaways in the AFC and fifth most in the NFL.
That's why they ranked ahead of New Orleans.
That's but part of it.
How do you have all those takeaways without playmakers?
The guy who leads the way, you said, is not a playmaker.
But
they have 9 takeaways from a jag corner and a nose tackle.
But it's a
that doesn't help.
But good team defense can cause those takeaways. It doesn't have to be like one special guy. You can have.
Why can't you just?
It's proven is now there, that
wait,
you can
wait,
have a lot
stop.
Of takeaways
just
without
a
playmaker.
Is there not a difference between the play that I am watching right now on CBS where Mark Anderson forces a fumble and the interceptions that Kyle Arrington gets? There's not a difference there. One is a forced turnover, a true takeaway. One is a fair catch interception
thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
right place, right time.
But it's a cumulative
bad
thing.
Bad pass.
You know?
Right, but you admit, see, this is where I don't like you, because you flip-flop. You admitted to me that Kyle Arrington is not a playmaker.
Yet,
numbers-wise, he's your playmaker.
I agree with that, but see, you're
is he still leading the league?
I think he might
no?
be. Yeah. Weddle had 7. I think he might still be tied. They all kind of
tied. There's like 3 or 4 guys with 7.
But you can have a lot of turnovers without true playmakers.
That's called luck. That's playing Tyler Palko.
Okay,
that's called jag
it's
quarterbacks.
It's luck when the Patriots do it.
No, it's luck when anybody does it.
I
was
said
not
the same,
luck
by the
what
way.
Mark Anderson did. That was not luck. Neither of those two fumbles were luck.
Is Mark Anderson a playmaker?
Fred, I'll tell you right
okay,
now.
Okay, but he made a play.
I'll play. Yes.
I'm happy with
that.
So
you'll
that.
Count
I'll
on
play,
him making
three
straight.
But DeMarcus Ware, in that position, is a playmaker.
Okay.
He makes 15 of those a year. That there's a difference.
I'm not arguing that.
But what are you arguing?
But I just want to state for a little bit balance. A couple years ago, New Orleans did this. And I said to you, I don't think that's a good defense. They caused a lot of turnovers.
They won a Super Bowl.
Right. Not a good defense. Proven correct, by the way, in the subsequent years. When the turnovers leave, they can't stop you.
Well, but that year, they won a Super
Bowl.
Yeah,
they won the Super Bowl. I didn't say the Patriots can't win the Super Bowl.
And that's the goal.
I didn't say they can't win the Super Bowl.
Thanks, Frank.
And that's the fact. That no one says the Patriots can't win the Super Bowl. That's the fact. But that's not good defense. It's circumstantial. And largely, it's luck. You can't control when the other team turns the ball over if you don't have guys that force turnovers.
Or when Reggie Wayne stops running a route.
Mark Anderson forced a turnover on Sunday. That's a rarity for the way they've gotten their turnovers this year.
Not when it comes to the fumbles. I think they forced some really good fumbles.
Yeah, no, like the first one when the guy just dropped the ball for in a pile.
So you're going to... Yeah, but
or the punt return that the guy just had the ball go off his face.
So you're not.
That's the majority of their turnovers. That's what's happened.
Okay, mm-hmm. I guess they're just lucky. All right.
See, here's where he takes now. He's going to turn it that 11-3 is luck. That's where he's going now, and then he'll get us in another argument.
No, I'm just, you know.
I said one specific thing about causing turnovers, and you're going to take it into, I think that the 11-3 is luck. That's where you're going. I can see your wheels turning.
They have 25 takeaways, right? Or 27 now, maybe? Maybe it was 25 last. So, 7 interceptions from Arrington, and 2 from, that's more than a third. He's admitted were not plays that they made, not playmakers.
No.
And by the way,
now you're putting words in my mouth.
How many turnovers did they cause last year?
I don't know.
They weren't that good.
They really weren't, right?
Right.
They were number 1 in the league.
In
last year.
Differential?
Everything. They never turned the ball over,
last
year.
In differential, they were number 1?
Yes.
Mm. They had like 4 turnovers all year.
But yet, in the playoff game, they were minus 1. Because they turned it over once, and the other team protected it. I worry what happens when the other team decides to protect it. That's all.
Doesn't mean they can't win the game. Doesn't mean they can't beat them. Doesn't mean the other team won't turn it over three times.
When it's not Rex Grossman standing
the other
five
team,
count, six
the
count.
The other team might
mean?
Turn it
I
over
probably
three
get rid
times.
Of this
what do you
soon.
Mean when the other team decides to protect it? I think it's the goal of every team to decide.
Exactly.
Yeah, but Rex Grossman can't do it as well as Aaron Rodgers
And generally, not always, but generally, good teams protect it.
He just threw up in his mouth.
When you get to the, when you get to the playoffs.
I'm sorry, Andy. I don't actually do it into the microphone.
I got to switch sides real quick here. I got to switch the front
side. I don't burp into the microphone.
No, instead you fart. And everybody can hear
and
it.
Everybody can
in
hear
the UK,
it.
Everybody can hear
I
it.
I have never farted into a microphone.
It comes through the microphone, trust
but
me.
But I've never aimed it at the microphone.
Doesn't matter.
So it didn't fart into the microphone.
It's bouncing off the walls and hitting the rest of us.
That's not my problem. It's supposed to be soundproofing in here.
Jim from Walpole says, Fred, once again, you caused me to spit up a bit of coffee in a train full of people the other morning when I was listening to
That's
the podcast of Tuesday's show, and Fred said something about how the monkey strapped to the dog couldn't be happy about the situation. Just an absurd bit of radio.
Tell you what was absurd.
It was an absurd bit of halftime entertainment. That's what it was. It's good stuff.
He couldn't be happy
Did
about
they show
the situation.
That on CBS? The whole thing?
Not the whole thing. They showed the whole thing yesterday on here where they were actually corralling them. And
they did, huh?
Yeah.
Toussaint.
Yeah. Please.
Right.
How many times do we have to go through this?
Just listen to yesterday's podcast. Totally agree with Fred that the defense is bad, but nowhere near as bad as people say it is. Paul was way off when he said the Denver game was all Tom Brady. The Pats defense forced two straight turnovers and gave Brady short fields on three of his scoring drives in the second quarter. The Denver defense was unstoppable in the first quarter, but in the second quarter, their four drives went fumble, fumble, three and out, fumble. That was all caused by Tom Brady. Then I just must be blind. Last but not least, tell Pete Shepard to go.
You just counted a punt return as a possession, but that's okay.
Last but not least, tell Pete Shepard to go easy on Tim Tebow. There are much better people to use that hatred on in sports, like Jerry Sandusky or Sam Hurd, just to name a few.
Wait a minute, Pete Shepard hates him too?
I guess so.
I don't know, but can I? This can't be. Ross Tucker has a retweet of something Pete Carroll wrote. Red Bryant, you know, the big defensive lineman for Seattle, evidently his wife had a baby. 17.2 pounds.
Whoa.
Can that be right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
17?
I mean, it'll be.
I think the record is like 24 pounds.
Yeah.
Something
really?
Like that. Yeah.
As Ross Tucker says, holy cow.
Or as you say, how's your whole family?
17.2 pounds. That's unbelievable.
That's a lot of baby.
Well, congratulations to Red Bryant and his wife.
When women give birth to like these twins and like sometimes now with these fertility things, triplets, quadruplets. The total weight must be
No, they're usually pretty small.
Yeah, twins are usually like 5 pounds each.
Yeah, or like each. 3-4 pound babies.
Even like on a normal delivery schedule?
And a lot of times, like twins in particular, I mean, you'd know a lot more about it because your wife is a twin. But
yes.
How many of them you actually even get to full term?
Right, they don't. So they come out small, and you end up, the total is in the range of what a baby would be full term and everything.
Okay.
Now, I don't know about like the octomom. I don't know all eight babies.
Yeah, that's a little
They had to have weighed at least.
And you're right about that, Freddie. That is largely the result of the fertility drugs that is so prevalent.
Kevin from Maine, I'm bummed.
So's Fred.
I have some time to listen to you guys live, and our filter here at Artwork is not letting the broadcast stream. I'm sure it is at our end. My phone, iPad, or computer will not stream.
That's because Andy keeps farting.
I'll listen to the podcast later.
Artwork is the name of his company?
I guess not. I don't know. Three quick comments and a question. I read in the iPad app that the Packers were finally placed at the top of the Wilson-Hart power rankings.
Yes!
So I'm right. The Packers moved up in the power rankings after their least powerful performance.
Yep. Mm.
I'd like to hear Andy's explanation of that.
It's all numerical. It's all based on the entirety of the statistics from the season. Takes into account everything that went on around them. Houston obviously lost, so that helps them. But it's not just win-loss. Win-loss is just a factor in the mix.
I understand.
There's a lot of factors involved, and finally they achieved greatness.
On another note, given what we know about this team moving into the playoffs, do you think the most important thing for the Patriots to do if only one of the following happens? The defensive to play up to his potential or to make sure that the O-line protects Brady? Knowing the defense O-line. Is what it is, I'm most worried about making sure the O-line lets Brady do his thing.
Yes,
O-line.
I agree.
Yeah, because without that,
I
kind of really
think the
no
defense
chance.
Might be playing up to its potential right now.
That's exactly how I feel.
And the final note, it was nice to have Eric on the entire time the other day.
Speak for yourself.
First time I've heard him participate for the full broadcast in 2 years of listening.
Lucky you 2 years for you.
You had a good show on Tuesday,
Wait, you don't listen to the off-season shows? Because I'm on all the off-season
shows.
Yeah,
but you don't talk
Yeah, but you don't bring it in the off-season.
You just say, yeah, I agree with what Andy said.
Thank you.
You had a good show on
Mrs.
Tuesday.
Mrs. Draft.
You brought something.
I like Quinn. I like Quinn, too.
Travis in Collierville, Tennessee writes in, when I started listening to the show this summer, you guys used the word Homer to describe many people, including yourselves.
Fred.
You guys use it so often,
Fred, yeah.
But I've never actually heard the description of what one is. At first, I thought it was a reference to Homer Simpson for someone who's just a moron. Second, I thought it was a way of calling someone a homo on the radio.
No.
But recently, it sounds like it's a fan who can't look at his or her team objectively.
Yes.
Correct. I feel like a moron for not knowing this or how Eric feels on a daily basis, but wanted to get some clarification before the end of the season.
That was just out of nowhere.
That was an unnecessary
shot. That was forced.
Yeah.
As Paul would say, went around the block, through a couple wooded pastures.
Right. Climbed a fence.
Tracy in Vegas. Get on this guy's case, would you?
But yes, that is the definition, and we all refer to ourselves as homers a lot.
Listen to him.
Especially Fred, but we all sort of, you know, we work for the team.
He's also an idiot.
We work for the team, so a little of that comes with the territory.
Anthony in Toronto, it figures before the Colts game, Andy said Mayo wasn't a playmaker, and he gets two picks in two games, and Paul said Ocho wasn't going to catch a TD, and what do you know? Ocho kills this guy and catches the easiest TD of his life. Mayo and Ocho proved Big Head and Paul wrong. Now about the Dolphins game, 31-21 Patriots. Brady will have the offense at a nice pace throughout the game, and the defense will, with hopefully Chung, will be back, will be better than previous weeks with the Dolphins scoring a late TD.
Let me ask you, though, was I the only one who had
who knows?
Concerns when the ball was in the air going to Ocho Cinco, thinking that he was so wide open that he was going to drop it?
Oh, yeah. That could have been another event.
That's one that you're in the press box and you can see it. We just see the ball in the air, and then all of a sudden we see a white shirt. The guy's wide open.
Yeah, that's true. We saw the whole thing.
I had already written how they scored.
Oh.
I mean, I didn't realize what was happening.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you got to assume he's going to make that catch.
Random question.
I assumed he was going to catch
the ball. Did the Bills play in Toronto this year?
Yes, yeah. They played
Who'd
Washington.
They play?
Washington.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear anything about
the last game they won.
You
were
just
fact.
Clamoring for that Toronto trip, aren't you?
I would love to go to Toronto.
Toronto's a great city.
I've never been to Toronto.
City.
Really?
Real nice city.
I was clamoring for that trip myself.
I'm now, up there for
now
a few
it won't
days.
Matter because Eric will have to go. But that's their last win, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay.
23-0 over Washington.
I told Eric he's in the wrong line of work. He should work. No.
I agree.
He should work for one of those travel guides or, you know, online websites.
You'd be
that
excellent
does
at that.
I would like to do that.
You know a little about
I'm
every place.
You never heard of Fodors before.
Very little.
I've never heard of
Fodors. Fodors.
No.
What is it?
It's like a book that does reviews of hotels and.
Can you imagine I've heard of flowery language?
Fromers is a travel guy.
Fodors.
Oh,
Fodors.
No, never heard of that one.
No?
Fromers is one that's
Zagat.
Like travel. Yeah.
Or Zagat.
I think it's Zagat.
Zagat.
Because
Andy.
If Fred wrote it, they would call. I mean, if Eric wrote it, they'd call it something different.
Oh, see now.
I was going to. Forget it.
I know what you were
going
to do.
You should do it, though. Why don't you just do it?
Well, you can't just up and. I mean, some people can.
Just so you know,
quit,
not during the season.
No.
Just so you know.
Right.
We got a couple people in mind to replace you.
Yeah.
Speaking of Toronto,
Sting.
Hamza writes in.
Hamza.
Two things to talk about today. One, I think I'm in lockstep with Paul, Andy, and Eric about our playoff prospects. Sorry, Fred. Look, Brady's one ring away from maybe being the greatest player ever, but the guy ain't Superman. No one scores 38 three times in a row to win the Super Bowl. Not the 07 Patriots, not the 99-2000 Rams, not the 98 Vikings, not Montana, not this year's Packers. It almost never happens. Most likely two out of the three playoff games will end up being like the Cowboys or Giants or Steelers games
low
this
scoring.
Year. And we lost two of those three. We won one of them. the other aspect of this is that, let's face it, we've played more than a few teams this year which have made, to be charitable, some really dumbass mistakes. Can we rely on 3 second
Cowboys.
Quarter fumbles from the Steelers in the divisional round? Is Tyler Palco starting for the Ravens in the AFC title game?
No, but he's starting for the Texans if we play them.
Can Aaron Rodgers be counted on to pull a Grossman to seal the game at the end of the Super Bowl? Unlikely at best. Those are the things that put us over the top during this win streak. In short, if we pull this thing off, it will be such an incredible accomplishment by Brady that they should give him two rings. Thanks, guys, for all your content and especially for all the pointless arguing that makes my computer speakers crackle and short out. I remember being a Pats fan before you guys existed. It was nowhere near as fun or addictive as being a fan back then. Now watching the game on Sunday, it's almost an afterthought. Kirsch Woods is easily more entertaining. Case in point, when Brady got covered sacked during last week's game, Fred writes with apparently no double entendre intended, "Sometimes you just have to eat it."
Oh, God.
I did.
I will say
what you
this,
think
though,
of that email, Fred, out of curiosity.
Stupid.
I think he needs to get a sack. No, I'm not kidding. No, I think that, you know, people just get too worried, and we're judging this team on the great teams of the past. You don't need to do that.
But they're also judging them on the great teams of the present.
And he also
they don't stack up.
And who are they?
Teams that have won the Super Bowl the last few years, the Packers, the Saints.
I'm talking about this year. Who are the great teams this year?
I think I just named two of them.
You don't think the Packers aren't even going to make the Super Bowl.
But they're
because he thinks they're going to get upset.
They're a Super Bowl contender.
Okay,
Fred.
But if you look at all the teams that, where the Patriots don't match up, you look at the Packers first because of their offense. They're not even going to be in it, according to you.
I think they're going to get upset. They're going to be in the race.
Fine. No, I'm talking about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but if you're going to start listening to him, he doesn't think the Patriots are going to be in it either.
I didn't say that.
Oh, you think the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl?
I think they can. I need to see.
Will they be
I
in
don't
the Super
feel
Bowl?
Confident.
Do you expect them to be in the Super Bowl?
I need to see the road first.
I think they will get there.
Right now, I think they're going to get to the Super Bowl, but I need to see the road first.
The road is going to be, Paul, they're going to play two games at home. They're going to be the number one seed. Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
Is it Baltimore and Pittsburgh? Because if it is, then I'm going to change my opinion. If it's only one of them, then I think they're going to go. But, Fred, the reason I asked you about that email is because he basically said – he's more negative than me and Andy, first of all.
Yes.
But he basically said if the Patriots win, it's going to be an amazing accomplishment by Brady. And –
be an amazing accomplishment by the defense.
That's
too.
What. See, I don't think
well,
it will be.
No,
I think
it's going to be three straight 38s or something.
I think they'll continue to give up 25.
I don't think that's happen, though.
I think they'll continue to give up 25 or so points, and Brady will have to be on point three straight games for them to win the Super Bowl. That's how I feel.
Same as it's been all year. Fred yelled at me yesterday for saying that.
That's why I was curious to see what he said about
like
that.
Just like how he says, we had three tight games, we lost two. We won one. In the postseason, if there's three games, you need to win more than one to earn a ring.
Right. But the emailer made a good point in that you don't normally see blowouts by one team throughout their playoff run. It's usually close games with one blowout thrown in there somewhere, whether it's the Super Bowl.
But you also
or the
don't generally
game.
Just see 38 points.
That's the thing.
Regardless of blowout or shootout, you don't see it.
They could blow a team out 24-3.
I
don't think that the Patriots are built that way. I think if the Patriots are going to blow someone out, it's going to be 38-20.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah, no, I agree
and
with you there.
And, you know, we'll see if it ends up happening like that. But, like I said, I think it very much depends on the road. I think the Patriots can beat anybody. No question about it.
Chadowski from Douglasville, Georgia. Since it looks like Patrick Chung might be coming back and seems healthy, could the signing of Vincent Fuller be because of James Ahedebo not being healthy? I know I've seen him get injured and get attended to on the ground in these last few games. Bad shoulder, I think. Anyway, if my theory is correct and Ahedebo is hurt, do you think having Chung back and Fuller's experience at safety will help boost the secondary in their confidence?
Well, I think they signed Fuller as depth and insurance because they had Matthew Slater and
I think he's next up.
Sergio Brown and all these guys coming in and Ross Ventrone being called up every
he
other
fits
week.
Fits right in because he's not a starter.
I think he's going to start.
No, I know, but he's not a starter, so he fits right in with
who's
the guys they
start?
Started.
Fuller. I think he's the next. I mean, you look
he's
at
he's a career backup who's going to be your starting safety.
The last 4 weeks or so, you know, it was like who was the guy? Sterling Moore. Played
right.
like 85% of the game. Mm. Then it was, you know, Edelman playing a lot. Matthew Slater playing like 85. And then they slowly worked their way. All of a sudden, Sergio Brown's back out there. He hadn't really been out there on defense consistently since like Oakland.
Since he showed himself the worst ever. Yeah.
I think there's no reason to bring in a veteran like that this late in the year if you're not intending on playing him.
I agree with you, Paul.
I think it's going to start.
Kind of like Nate Jones against the Colts a couple of weeks ago.
I knew there was another one. I knew there was another one. Thank you.
You take that as like a positive or something. I take it as the worst negative ever.
Well,
you stink and you don't even know how to stink the best.
I take that as validation for how we feel.
It's the indictment he on knows the personnel that he moves right. early in the season.
He knows he doesn't have enough talent to get by, and he keeps looking for, you know, Artrell Hawkins.
Right. The
you know, someone just throw him out there and
at least
say, maybe he can be okay.
We found him in like October, November.
Yeah. The comment about Ahedebo being injured, his injuries are like Ellis Hobbs' injuries used to be. He would get hurt during a game, but it wasn't like a
he's all hurt.
Preemptive strike.
It wasn't you know, worthy of missing practice or putting him on IR or anything. He plays hurt. He gets dinged up. He comes out for a couple of plays, and he's always anxious to get right back out there. So it's not, I don't think, health-related. I think it's more performance.
Let's see. Matt in Southern California. I'm listening to Wednesday's show, and I got to say, this has been one of your best weeks. Paul rapping on pregame social was classic.
I haven't heard that yet.
Yeah.
I haven't heard it.
And
you don't need to.
Wednesday's screaming fight was epic and somehow stayed on topic. Made my day. Anyway, is there anyone on this defense that has surprised or impressed you besides Carter, despite the overall terrible performance this season? Can any of these guys step up and have a good game for us in the playoffs?
Fred's guy.
Hey, sure.
Kyle Love.
He's a great dancer.
Look, I think Ninkovic has had moments.
Can you cue up the rap?
Yes, you know, I agree with that. He's been moments. Inconsistent, but he's had moments.
Yeah.
Because we want to hear that.
Who else? I mean, I think I know that the interceptions are deceiving, but Arrington, I think, has been pretty good. Surprisingly so.
He's been more competitive
solid.
Than McCourty.
He's solid.
Mark Anderson
has done okay when given a chance.
Mark Anderson, forgetting his name, right?
In my opinion, has done exactly what Bill has asked him to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Situational guy, made some plays.
He's made the most of his opportunities.
Mayo's coming on.
In that Jarvis Green role, I think he's been solid.
That's a good description, Jarvis Green role.
Certainly, you guys said Kyle Love already?
Yeah, we're out.
That's Fred's guy.
He's been in love with him all year. Remember when he fell in love with him literally in training camp? Mm-hmm. He looks good.
And he did. He was right.
Brandon
like
writes,
he got the cookies under his arm.
Brandon from California, he says, I recently got into an argument with Rob Parker from ESPN First Take. He picked the Chargers to go to the Super Bowl because, quote, Patriots haven't won a playoff game since 07. Yet I guess getting to the Super Bowl doesn't count, nor did he really think we would be able to beat the Ravens without Wes and the Jets' fake injuries all game to not let Brady get hot. Why the hell is ESPN so anti-Patriot? Good question.
What is the fake? What is that?
Well, he feels that the Ravens, they didn't have Wes Welker, so that hurt them.
What is the fake injury?
The Jets game, he said that they were faking injuries to keep Brady out of rhythm.
You agree, and you think that's valid?
I'm not ruling it out.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
I'm not ruling it out.
Do you even know? Do you have any idea what he's talking about?
It might be a conspiracy theory that I overlooked.
That's what I thought.
You go check the tape.
And suddenly, missing a slot receiver caused you to lose 33-14.
Yeah. Now he's back to being loose change, Brett. A couple weeks ago, he wanted to give him $65 million. Now he's some damn slot receiver
and
didn't show up.
Just so you know, you can replace Welker with any other player on the roster other than Brady, and I would say the same thing. Missing a player doesn't make you lose 33-14 unless it's Brady.
Butterfly effect.
Sorry.
Butterfly effect.
You didn't lose that game because
even
Welker.
Even
Fred would say that.
And for
that.
The Jets game, I'm more critical of the Patriots than apparently Paul was. You know, Paul had all these things
that could
have turned the game.
No,
I think
you're right.
They could have won that game easily.
No, you made a summation that you thought the Jets outplayed the Patriots.
I did.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm not denying that. I think the Jets were the better team that day. I'm simply saying that had two things gone differently early in the game, it may not have been that. You may not have had the Jets out playing the Patriots the rest of the way that happened. I think they gained confidence from that. All of a sudden, instead of being down 10 or 14 nothing, they were still in the game, only down 3 nothing.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's true, but I think the way that defense, their game plan on defense was...
But did they change the game plan after those two drives?
No.
They were marching it down.
They could
your
have been
throat.
Down 14-0 with that great game plan.
Yeah, but I think
I'm with Mr. Kraft. A couple plays away, and that's a totally different game.
Lazy pass.
Simon writes in, just read a report on ESPN discussing Reggie Wayne, Jeff Saturday, and Robert Mathis potentially leaving Indy. I think all of those guys could be great additions to the Patriots, especially after seeing that Saturday Kraft moment during the lockout. What are your thoughts?
It's interesting. Copen's a free agent.
Saturday would make a lot of sense.
I'd take Reggie Wayne.
How old is he, though? Isn't he, like, past Sunday by now?
Oh.
That was good.
You almost stumbled.
I know.
You got it.
I got it out.
You recovered. You recovered. I would take Reggie Wayne, but I wouldn't. I would rather they wait to get him. Like, try to get younger, more.
Yeah, but they cost more.
I would take them all.
Yeah, but. I would
take them all, but
yeah,
I don't know. I'm just tired of going after the over-the-hill veteran who used to be productive all the
time.
Yeah,
but sooner or later it'll work.
I don't think Mathis fits.
Yeah, I have
no interest
in him.
But I would. I think all three players are very good. And
Wayne would be the guy. I think he can.
And they would certainly all fill needs. They would all fill needs.
Mm-hmm.
Center,
assuming Cope,
an outside receiver, and a pass rusher. I mean, if you could figure out how to use Mathis, all three of those guys would make sense.
Sure.
I would guess that. That's none of
true.
Those three would
if
be
if they do play in a 4-3, I don't feel any worse with him playing left defensive end than I do Rob Ninkovich getting rolled over by Willis McGahee.
Right.
Is that tone?
Yes.
A little.
You know, there's nothing wrong with what you just said. It's just people, I can envision people with their hands around their speaker right now
trying
as
to
fit your neck.
Yes.
You know, this is Ninkovich.
You know what's a little funny?
And he's
Mrs.
probably,
Ninkovich, is that what you said?
Yeah. He's probably our favorite guy, too.
Yeah,
and Fred,
I really
I mean,
like
and
him.
And Andy just like
and that's how
butchers
he treats him.
Him.
Yeah. But for years, we've ripped the Colts for doing it the wrong way because they haven't surrounded Peyton Manning with any talent. And
we want
three
all
players that are free agents from the Colts.
But that's one of the things to point to your thing earlier, Fred. When you
Why
talked
are you
about,
pointing to Fred's thing?
When you talked about the draft. And yeah. You said, well, you know, that's a major reason why the Colts are where they are right now. It's because lately, just like the Patriots, they've really been bad.
Yeah.
Especially with their first round. Anthony Gonzalez, Tony Hugo.
Donald Brown.
Yeah. Donald Brown is a Jag running back. They've had some real bad misses.
Actually,
Jerry Hughes 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Can't even get on the field for them, and they're a one-win team.
That is worse than Belichick.
But it just shows. But Polian, I don't think anyone here, as much as we make fun of
and
Polian.
And I like Jerry Hughes, too. I
he's a good
on
talent evaluator.
Was.
Well,
ever
do,
since his
really
face started
that?
Peeling off over here, he hasn't been as good.
He's insane. The man is insane.
Maybe like Samson loses his hair, he loses his skin, he loses
his
powers.
Mean? Is that
what
truth
What is that all
mean?
About? I mean, yeah, that might be a little bit. That might break
might
my rule. I need to rename the rule so I can say the name of it. Because I'd be breaking the rule if I said the name of the rule.
Basically, the rule is if you really are fat, Andy won't call you fat.
Right.
Oh my God.
Kidding me? Are you kidding me? Unbelievable.
I think Kevin can hear that through the glass.
That is,
all
right.
He's going to be able to smell it.
With that introduction, Chris from Stamford, Connecticut, does a little 12. No, it's 12 what Days it? Of Christmas? No, it's. what's the one? Yeah, 12 Days of Christmas thing. And I'll do that right now, and then we'll take a break and we'll do the picks for this week.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We'll reset.
Because we
have
hey,
Fred, Paul, Andy, and the elfish Eric. I've really enjoyed listening to your show this season. It's been entertaining to consider all your arguments and the thoughtful criticism of the team. It really makes me sit and process the Patriots' issues, but then I listen to Pete Shepard's show, and I feel like an idiot for having any doubts. This has been a wonderful holiday season, and it's the first Christmas for our baby daughter. Congratulations.
Oh, excellent.
Nice to gain some perspective as the defense gives up 400 yards per game, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know today is all about the reading of the night before Christmas, but I just wanted to get in another quick 12 days before reading. Did this once before a few years ago. Ready? I have to actually sing this one.
Okay. You don't have to if you don't want to.
By the first day of Christmas, New England gave to me 12 wins and counting. Ocho Cinco tweeting, Edelman a tackling, Mike Anderson a sacking. Some call him Mark. Ridley's back a turning. Wilfork intercepting. Front seven issues. 6 points for Welker. 5 poor safeties. 4 starting centers. 3 right tackles. 2 tight ends. And Tom Brady as MVP.
Oh, that's good.
There
that's
we go.
Good stuff.
You were right. The 5 poor safeties.
You were right. Not surprisingly, Andy liked that part, but
no,
you were right. You needed to sing it.
Yeah.
Right.
That was
well
good.
Done.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and we'll do the picks.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Be an MVP this holiday season and give the Patriot fan on your list a gift from the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise on the planet. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, t-shirts, autograph memorabilia, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone. Glad you could make it to the house. Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Grandma, let's start with you.
Hazelnut, please.
Cousin Mark?
Original blend.
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't
it? Right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. We're going to do our picks. Just quickly, Tianyi writes in, I recall Barry, Chris Gokhan, calling the show up a few weeks ago asking about a meetup in Vancouver for the Christmas Eve game. It's hard-pressed finding fellow Pats fans here in Vancouver, so I'm interested in meeting up with whoever else is here and in the spirit of Vancouver riot after the game. So please forward my contact to Barry or read this on the radio so that we can organize something. Thanks. So Kevin will take care of that.
Of course, we chose the easy route. We'll just read it on the air.
Well, it wasn't easy for Fred. He had to say the name.
Well, Barry, you know.
Tianyi.
Tianyi.
Isn't that what Junior Seau's first name was? Something like that?
Really?
His real first name was Tiani or something like that.
Maybe it's a he. I don't know.
Oh, I thought it was a he.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it could be a she.
I don't know. Anyway.
Could be an Eric.
So Chris Gokong, otherwise known as Barry and Siang, there are other Pats fans up in Vancouver. I know there's a lot of Pats fans.
Tianyi. Well, that's not what Tianyi thinks.
Yeah. All right, Paul, what happened last week?
Last week, Freddie, 11-5. Paul and Andy, 9-7.
Oh, boy.
Eric, 7-9.
Ooh, taking it up the... I mean, what?
With the spread, Paul, 10-5-1. Fred, 8-7-1. Andy, 7-8-1. And Eric, 5-10-1.
Oh, boy. You really sucked.
So, for the season, with 2 weeks to go, order has been restored, Fred.
Oh, God.
Paul, 148-76. Fred, 147-78. That's not right. 146 and 146-78. I'm sorry. Eric, 146-78. Andy, 141-83.
Well, I'm coming. 2 weeks. I need to make up five games to get out of last place. Woo!
With the spread, Paul, 110-107-7. Eric and Fred, 108-109-7. And Andy, 104-113-7.
So 5-4 I need to make up.
Just two games behind, Paul. That's doable.
Sure. And there's a lot of games this week because there's no bye.
Thanks.
All right.
Fred, you are 147-77. You are one game ahead of Eric, one game behind me.
Okay.
I knew when I read that number didn't add up.
The December surge.
You check mine, too, make sure it's right.
I don't think you really want me to do that.
You might find a couple wins.
All right. So this week, tonight, it is Thursday. Isn't
yeah.
It is Thursday.
Texans.
Friday for the Patriots, but it's
right.
Thursday
for the Raiders.
The Houston Texans travel to the one win streak team, Indianapolis Colts. And
just rolls right off the tongue.
What's the number?
Houston by 6.
Houston by 6 in Indy.
When 2 plays 32, I take 2. Houston.
I'll take Houston too. I'm a little scared though that they're now starting to fall apart after the crack in the armor last week and all of the injuries they've had all year, now starting to mount. But I'm still going to take them on the road. I think they're the better team.
What's Wade's status?
Stable.
Are you sure?
No, I don't know. No. I think wasn't he only supposed to miss one game?
Oh, okay. That makes me feel much better because that was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah, it was like 10 days or something.
I think Eric's concern is legit. With Houston, at some point, you wonder where the breaking point is. But I think last week, in retrospect, I didn't pick it, but it made some sense. They just had that big road win against Cincinnati. They won their first division title, and all of a sudden, you know, they came home and they were feeling pretty good about themselves. And they had a letdown. I think they bounced back this week and won. I'll take Houston
back.
Andy's reacting to that Doomerville hit.
Yeah. Replay right after replay. Yeah.
By the way, best visitors locker room in the NFL.
Huge,
I think, mile high.
Huge locker room. There.
Huge. Very spacious.
Well.
As opposed to, like, Buffalo, where it's like a broom closet.
Well, it's new. It should be nice. Instead of
but
Buffalo,
there are some new places that don't have great facilities.
There's some places it's almost like they forgot. Oh, there's a visitor? What, Paul? Do you want to say something?
No.
No.
You're such a fraud.
Did everyone pick this game?
You could never have this.
You haven't.
Houston. Let's see. Saturday. There's all these games on Saturday because of Christmas. There is a Sunday night game, though. But yep. Anyway.
And a Monday night
game. We'll get there.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't know. So there is a Christmas game.
Packers.
Yeah.
So it could
Christmas
be worse,
night.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
It could be worse.
Yeah.
We
could Cleveland be on the road.
At Baltimore. Cleveland at Baltimore.
Baltimore by 13.
I will take Baltimore. I'll take them to win and cover. Cleveland stinks.
Yeah, stinks. They do. I'll take Baltimore to win. And Cleveland to cover.
I will take Baltimore, and I will lay the points because I think they feel like they got an enormous reprieve. They were pretty down about the prospect of being on the road, and then 24 hours later, they found out they were right back in the driver's seat. So I don't think they're going to slip up.
Is McCoy still out? Or
looks like he's out.
He's out? It's a tough one. Because it's one of those intra-division rivalries, I will take Baltimore, but that's too many points for me. So, all right, Denver at Buffalo.
Denver by 3. One of the rare road favorites this week.
Denver by 3 in Buffalo.
Ooh,
24,000 seats still available.
Yeah, they said this might be the least attended Bills game in a long time.
Should have had this game in Toronto.
When you have a 23-24 matchup, you got to go with the home team, so I'll take the Buffalo Bills. Ryan Fitzpatrick and company. Tebow, a loser. Two straight weeks.
I'm done with giving the Bills credit for what they did earlier in the season. I think the Tebows bounce back from last week's loss, and they win a good one on the road.
Tebows.
I think there's a very good chance that Andy's going to end up being right, but I'm going to have to go with the numbers here. Denver runs the ball, and Buffalo can't stop it. So I'm going to go with the Broncos.
Yeah, me too. Broncos all the way. Tampa Bay at Carolina, Saturday at 1.
Carolina by 7.5.
I'll take Carolina to win and cover, better team.
Yes, and they will put up points with Cam Newton.
The shine is off, they say, for what's his name, Freeman.
Yes, Josh Freeman. That whole thing is in disarray. I will take Carolina as well.
Carolina, me too.
And that array.
Arizona at Cincinnati. Arizona at Cincinnati.
Actually, a reasonably entertaining
Cincinnati
matchup.
By 4 over the John Skeltons.
I will go with the...
Who now has a better record than Tim
red.
Tebow.
I will take the 14-ranked Red Rifles.
No, nothing there. Wearing red. Red Skelton, former comedian.
Yeah, but it's the Red Rifle on the other side. Red-headed quarterback. Yeah. Well, red.
Who'd you take?
The Red Rifles. Not like the one that Fred got for Christmas a couple years ago.
That's a Red Rider.
Not a John Ryder.
I will go with the home team, Bengals, to win and cover.
I will as well set up an interesting situation. Spot. Yeah, the Jets playing the Giants. They could be Cincinnati could be in that sixth spot.
Just because of that, Cincinnati loses.
We don't think they're ready for primetime?
No.
Wow.
Just disgusted.
If the game meant nothing, I'd pick Cincinnati. Oakland at Kansas.
I can't argue with that. That's a fair and balanced analysis right there. No one comes up smaller in big spots than the Bengals.
Oakland at Kansas City.
Or the Patriots in the last three postseason.
Oakland at Kansas City.
That's why they hate you.
What's the number
Oakland
there?
Oakland at Kansas.
Kansas City by 1.5.
1.5. Might as well be a pick 'em.
Oakland wins this game. 19th-ranked Raiders. Carson Palmer getting a rolling.
I don't know what to make of either of these teams, even after 15 weeks, and even with the Chiefs at home at Arrowhead. But I'll give them credit for that, and the Raiders not playing well of late, so I'll take the Chiefs to win and cover.
I'm rooting for you. I want Rack to get the job. Win, Rack.
Yeah, I'm going
right
to take. I am going to take Oakland, though.
I missed it.
I agree with you. I think I'd like to see Romeo win the last whatever. Would they have one more game? Three games? I'd like to see them win them all.
Two.
But I think Oakland's going to win
more. This one and
well, yeah, the three games that he.
I mean, the
coached.
Question is how much can Kansas City keep that momentum with such a huge win? But I think the Romeo Crennel factor means something to them, and I think Kansas City wins at home. If it was in Oakland, I'd pick Oakland. But
is he a good hire if they make him the head coach?
Because
I support him emotionally. I'm not sure I support him intellectually.
Yeah,
I'm not
sure
he's a great coach.
I don't know. I mean, he certainly didn't do too well in his first stint, but a lot of guys don't. You know, and they learn, and then they do better in the second time around.
I think it's
it's not like things
look at
the
guy down the hall.
It's not like things have gotten much better since he left.
No,
Cleveland
but
either. It's not, you know.
I'm just saying my own personal assessment. I think he's a coordinator.
Okay,
a very,
be.
Very.
I have.
Coordinator.
I don't have the information to make a judgment on that.
Like
I know,
like Andy. Does,
I'm holding that one meeting in the airport when he had been the coach for a month, and I asked him about somebody on the roster. And he said, well, I haven't really gone over the whole roster yet of the Browns. Right there, a month in, you don't know your roster. That bothers me.
That's all it takes for Andy.
That's okay. All right, we'll skip over the Patriots. Okay. This is getting to be a huge war of words. New York Giants New York Jets.
Jets getting the home 3 points, Andy.
Oh, good.
Favored by 3.
Shortest commute in the NFL.
See what I did there?
Yes, I did.
Hi-ho. I need a number on St. Louis-Pittsburgh.
I'm going to take the home New York Jets to get the job done. Number 10-ranked team and keep their hopes alive here.
Yeah, I think the Jets pull it out because honestly, I think at this time of year, for some reason, under Rex Ryan, they start to get going, and I just really don't believe in the Giants. I think they're a pathetic team.
Wow. Pathetic?
Yes,
he's disappointed in
them. And that coach can't get fired fast enough, and the quarterback is overrated. I'll go with the Jets.
He's having one of the best years of all.
Quarterback's had a pretty good year.
Quarterback's been completely out of his mind for 14 weeks.
I don't like him either, but when he's playing okay, you got to say he's playing okay.
Nah.
Leads the league in fourth quarter touchdowns.
So he's taking over for Roethlisberger.
That's just the statement of how bad the defenses are around the NFL.
Okay.
So I guess, well done. Guess Brady stinks too then. Anyway.
No, he's proven it longer.
Playing the role of Andy.
I'm going to take the Giants. I just don't think it's going to be there this year for the Jets. I think this is the underachiever bowl. I think both of these teams are much, much better than their records, and neither one of them has any business fighting for playoff spots. They should be both fighting for playoff seed right now. Too much talent. I know the Giants have had a ton of injuries. There's no excuse for them being 500.
So it's not going to be Rex Ryan saying, same old Jets in the AFC title game again.
You know what? I don't think it is. But Fred's theory might hold true, too. They might lose this game and still find a way to get in because Cincinnati and all these other teams can't win games either. So
they're the cockroaches.
I think the Giants are going to win this one.
Without the roach.
I'm going to go with the Giants as well. This is one of those great games for me because not only do I get to root against the Jets and pick against them, but the Giants actually, I think, have better than good chance to win this game. You know, it's not like I'm taking a long shot here. I think if the Giants play like they have played at times, I think they'll win handily.
Could.
You know?
I think both teams could blow this game out. Or get blowed out, as Emmett would say.
Yeah. It's one of those rare games. Both teams could win or lose by 20-plus. I don't think there's any question about it.
St. Louis at Pittsburgh. No. Did we get a number yet?
Pittsburgh by 14.
Wow.
Oh. Is Roethlisberger playing?
I don't believe he is.
They don't know yet.
Okay.
There's been no word.
I don't get to make a choice, so I will go with Pittsburgh, and I will say Mendenhall is ridiculous. Runs for 200, gets a few runs over 20, unlike what he's been doing most of the year, and doesn't fumble.
Where is this game?
Pittsburgh. In Pittsburgh.
I'll take
apparently
the Steelers.
They don't play on the road this year.
To win.
to cover as well?
What did they do this week?
Huh?
Didn't to cover as well? This week?
Why do you take the Paul Perillo bait? See, Fred?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cover as well?
Sure.
I will do the same.
Ridiculous
Paul.
Covers.
Even if Roethlisberger doesn't play. Actually, especially if
Roethlisberger
doesn't
play. I knew you would change that.
Yeah, I'll lay the points too. I don't think they're going to cover, but I don't know why I'm going to lay the points.
Yeah, I'm going to, you know, the points are too much, so I'll take those, but Pittsburgh wins. If St. Louis was just a little bit better, I would be a lot more comfortable taking those points, but I'll do it anyway. Jacksonville at Tennessee.
Tennessee by 7.5. Evidently, Hasselbeck will play, according to Munchak.
Well, then that helps me out because I'm taking the Tennessee Titans to win this game. Thank you.
I'll take the Titans to win as well. Give me the Jags to cover, though, Paul, please.
Did you watch the game the other night?
Yeah.
Taylor Price. I forgot.
I will do the same thing. I will take Tennessee. I'll take the half point, though, and look for the cover with Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take Tennessee.
The price is right.
And Minnesota at Washington.
Washington by 6.5.
Washington.
Yeah, Minnesota at Washington. I have to take the home team, so I'll take the Skins in this matchup of 28 versus 30. Scintillating showcase of NFL talent.
Yeah, I'll take the Skins, too. I don't like the game. I don't like the matchup, but I think the home team will get it done. They have just enough talent to do
that. I'll say the same thing. I'll take the home team and a battle of two bad ones.
You homer.
Yeah, I'll take Washington as well.
Meaning two.
Now we move to the 4 o'clock games because we're skipping over the Patriots 1 o'clock game.
Is that a 1:05 or is that a 1:15?
An early 4 o'clock game or a late 4 o'clock
game? No, they're saying 1 o'clock here. Straight flat
really?
Ones.
Kickoff is right at one.
Mm. Flat ones here. Yep. San Diego at Detroit. 4:05. San Diego at Detroit.
Detroit by 2.5.
That
was the other thing. The guy that thinks San Diego is going to win the Super Bowl, it's going to be awfully hard to do that without not making the playoffs.
Yeah. That is the problem there. Otherwise, I might be on his side, but I have to take Detroit because they're a much higher-ranked team here, number six in the power rankings.
Yep.
I still think San Diego dangerous right now.
There is something about San Diego every year that you just can't get past.
There is, but you know what? I think there's
talking to Andy.
Because they always play well late in the year, and it's called talent.
Yeah, see, I'm not getting deceived by one good game.
You are more afraid of that team than any other team.
I wouldn't say more. For the Patriots, yes, I'm more afraid. I think those big receivers on the outside and Ryan Matthews could absolutely undress
you. But it's always been this way. It's not just this season. right?
Well, this defense hasn't always been this
but
bad.
You've always
I've always been a little scared. I'm more scared this year because of the defense. This year,
San
I'm
Diego, you took?
No, I took Detroit. Oh, listen,
Paul's had enough of this discussion.
Pull the hair out your ears.
Because I know where this is going to go. You're going to say, well, you know, they're always making it. They always make turnovers. They always do this. They always. I've participated in this argument before.
Yeah,
you always yell at Andy, and for no reason. He just likes San Diego.
Yeah,
you always yell at me
for no reason. It's starting to really bother me.
Oh.
I'm going to HR.
I will.
probably not a good move for you.
Yeah. As they haul my file out with a forklift.
San Diego's going to find a way to choke, and the Lions are fighting for what's going to be their first playoff appearance in many years. So I take the home team to win and cover.
Yeah, I'm going to lay the points, too. I'm going to take Detroit.
What's the number again?
Two and a half.
Yeah, I'll take Detroit.
I was going to say, after ripping me for taking the Chargers, you couldn't take the Chargers.
But this Detroit team. Mm.
Jekyll and Hyde.
I'm just
4:15, Philadelphia at Dallas.
Dallas by two.
I have to take. Where's Philadelphia?
Well, they're way down low.
They can still win that division.
Yes.
The 26th ranked team in the Wilson-Hart Power Index can still win that division.
Well, the good news is if they do take the division, they'll probably be about 28 by the time they do it.
I was just going to test my OtterBox and see if I could throw it across the room and not break. I will take the other team. I forgot who it was.
Cowboys.
Yeah, they're much higher ranked.
I will take the team that is surging, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles to win on the road against a team that is sinking like a stone.
Eric is right. The Eagles will win the game, and probably in easy fashion as they did the last time these two teams met.
I'm going to go with Philly as well, just because I love seeing Dallas lose.
Do you know they're the most hated team?
Well,
yeah, New England's up there, too.
Doesn't show on Facebook.
Well, the poll was a little misleading.
Why?
You didn't get to choose everybody. They offered, like, six teams or something. Yes.
Oh, then that's, yeah. Then
so it's a little misleading that the Patriots were in, like, the top six.
Because by default, you might say, oh, that's my team over there.
Yeah, it's a little, that was a bad poll by whatever PPP.
Who's that?
I don't know. It was, like, the something Pew, polling.
Pew Research?
Wasn't Pew. I know Pew.
Yeah.
Pepe?
You certainly do.
I was waiting for somebody. I mean, I lobbed it up there for you guys.
All right. San Francisco at Seattle, 4:15.
San Francisco at Seattle.
San Francisco by 2.5.
Doesn't matter.
My guy, Tavares Jackson, doesn't do well under pressure. San Diego got pressure. I'll take San Diego. I mean, San Francisco.
San Francisco, yeah. And
some San.
They're surging toward the playoffs. I know Seattle's played well of late, but I think San Francisco's the better team, and they'll get it done on the road. Win and cover, Paul.
I will take San Francisco as well, although Seattle has really come on lately.
Yeah.
I think the
ends here.
I think the Niners still have that bye to play for.
Yep.
I'm the biggest Tavares Jackson fan on the earth, but when he sees Alden Smith and Justin Smith and guys come, he's going to poop himself.
All right.
Who do you take?
San Francisco.
Okay.
Sunday, 8:20.
All right, he's going to move on without making a pick.
Sunday, 8:20, Chicago at Green Bay.
Green Bay by 13.
I am going to take the newly crowned number one team in the Wilson-Hart Power Index, the Green Bay Packers.
Which moved up by losing. As all the fans like to point out to Andy on the
I just
laugh. Comments.
I have to wait to see who it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Chicago and Green Bay. It could have been either one of them.
I'm so funny, I'm fat.
I will go with the home Packers. They've lost their one regular season game, but they have one more coming. It'll be in the playoffs.
Yes, I am not buying into the one game makes the whole season. San Diego, Green Bay, I think the Packers.
A little banana
back.
In the tailpipe.
Did
thing
you say the
on.
Number is 18?
13.
Josh
McCown, by the way, starting at quarterback for
the Bears. Green Bay wins it.
Different backup.
They'll cover. All right, in Monday night, Atlanta.
How'd you get happy after that one? You probably thought that was going to be a pretty good game 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Chicago Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Atlanta at New Orleans.
Nolans by 6.5. These teams always play tight games.
Yeah.
A lot of them go overtime.
Yeah, but New Orleans, that home advantage.
Atlanta at New
Atlanta's
Orleans.
Been playing better lately.
These big 8-9 matchups, Paul, these are good ones. I got to go with the 9th-ranked Saints at home.
I will go with the Saints to win, but I think, like Paul said, it's going to be very close. It might even be overtime. It's going to be a field goal difference, so I'll take the points for
Rowdy,
Atlanta.
Roddy, right, and rolling.
I will take it, New Orleans, and I will lay the points.
Oh,
me too. I am going with New Orleans. All right, so now we move back to Saturday at 1. Miami at New England.
John's ready to get rid of you. Yeah.
Well, we haven't gone over yet.
This game opened at 10.5, but has moved down to 9.5.
Oh.
Miami at the Patriots. 9.5.
A lot of Miami money coming in.
This is tough. Not really. Yeah. I'm going to take the Patriots to win and cover. By far the better football team. The only thing that would concern me here is the two stars on offense. The way the run defense has played lately, a guy coming off 200 yards, what's the chances he has 200 yards again? And Marshall, what's the chances that he has another buck 40? Probably pretty good on the latter one, but Patriots still by far the better team. They roll. Matt Moore, 50% passers. Don't beat the Patriots. Just ask Tim Tebow.
Maybe close at halftime, but won't be in the fourth quarter. The Patriots will win and cover.
The Patriots will win this game by 10, so I will take the Patriots and lay the points. 27-17.
Squeaking by with that.
They are going to come out a little bit flat
after
the big emotional win on the road last week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everything is clinched.
I have a question about that.
They're
going to
have a little bit of a slow start. They're going to get it in gear. 27-17.
I'm the same way, Paul, and Stephen Ridley has his best game as a Patriot in
more than 100 yards.
Yep.
Really?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Doubtful.
That's a good bold prediction. What do you have, 97 yards?
Yep.
So he's going to have to get more than 97 yards.
Yep. It's going to have everyone excited about the running game. All right, now, I have a question because, Paul, you reminded me of this. Brady said it twice over the weekend, during the week, and you just said it again. It was an emotional win in Denver. Why? Why was that such an emotional win?
Because
they were tired of listening about
all the Tebow
Tim
stuff.
Tebow.
Do you really think they cared that much about
that?
Yes.
Did you see the way he spiked the football?
Did you watch the game?
On his touchdown?
He spiked the football because they were jamming his head while he was in the pile.
Didn't
spike the football for other reasons.
You didn't think that it was a little odd that they called for three different quarterback sneaks on the goal line hasn't had a rushing touchdown all year.
But emotional, it's like
absolutely
really?
That meant a lot
because they felt like they were second fiddle all week.
They basically locked up a bye with that win.
Right.
I don't think it's just Tebow.
It was a huge win.
Yeah. Locked up a bye. You went on the road in a place where you lose a lot. You came back.
Well, they didn't lock up a bye.
Potential play.
No,
well,
but they basically locked up a bye. If they had lost the game, they would have lost the bye, and now they basically.
I think there was a lot more than Tebow, but I also think Tebow was a big factor.
Okay.
I think it was a very emotional. I think it was probably their biggest win of the season.
You were worried they were going to lose.
Well, the Jets game was the biggest win, but this is the second
nervous
one.
Wreck was the right. Was the quote.
So maybe they had some of those feelings. I mean, there's anxiety there.
I just thought it was interesting, you know, emotional game.
Sure.
Like if you're playing the Jets,
Jets was the most the most emotional. I agree.
Yeah.
The road Jets
game. I mean,
this one fought over it for
longer than they normally do.
Yeah, but I think the Patriots are supposed to be insulated.
Well, one day doesn't really sound like that's a whole lot.
That really petered out in that sense. The two networks fought over it for longer than they normally might.
You know, for an extra 18 hours. I thought it was a big win. I thought Tebow was a factor.
We're going to go to the locker room, Fred.
All right, well, that's it. Guys have to run to the locker room. That'll be it. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah to everybody. Special Christmas Eve pregame social. You want to be there for that.
Oh, yeah.
John Rooks standing by for the playbook. John, what do you got?
Oh, you know, merriment and frivolity.
Okay, great. And then, of course, the B-Low with the fantasy lowdown on Pete Shepard and the Pete Shepard Show at 4 o'clock. We'll see you next Tuesday.
It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas.
Ferreira socks, Merry Christmas.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.